It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes this May 4th, 2009, Monday evening. And I know a lot of you are very upset that the Alex Jones channel has been pulled, and rightfully so. I mean, this was one of the biggest channels on YouTube whatsoever. It had new content posted on there daily. Last week, we were in the top, I believe we were the top channel a couple times. I know that a lot of the swine flu stuff was breaking out on the top 100 of Google and YouTube and being featured. Apparently, somebody is upset. We did receive a small complaint, but usually they'll ask you to remove the video first and say who the complaint is from. That did not happen this time. We'll be talking about that all evening. But the real nexus point is with this domestic extremism lexicon DHS document. Here it is right here. Paul Watson has done an excellent story, and this is going to be something we are going to cover in depth. We're going to be taking your calls while covering it. Hopefully we'll stick to that subject matter, internet censorship, a new terrorism document, and of course, the Alex Jones channel being pulled altogether. In the second hour, we're going to have that pastor who was beaten and tased for refusing to let the cops act like thugs and rip apart his car for no reason. So instead, they'll just, you know, rip him apart and bash in his windows. That's coming up in the second hour. And then the third hour, I really want to hit swine flu, whether or not the World Health Organization is actually going to declare level six. I believe it's, her name is Chan. She's the director. She hasn't ruled it out. They say they still might do it. And now they finally found some pigs with the swine flu, apparently, all the way up Canada yonder. So we're going to cover all that stuff and more here. I've got a big, big, big stack of news. But this DHS document lists alternative media as potential terrorists. Alternative media. That could be us. Maybe that's why they just pull our stuff from YouTube. And I want to let people know that hopefully we will be reposting everything that was on the Alex Jones channel as quick as we can over at the InfoWarrior channel, my channel. So please go over there, spread the word, spread the links. If you can't get a hold of a lot of Alex Jones videos now, remember, Alex does sit in on this program quite a bunch. And during the swine flu epidemic week last week, we did cover in depth not only Baxter and how they released a vaccine, I believe it was in mid-February, that was tainted with two types of live avian flu virus. Remember, it's an avian flu vaccine, and one type of human virus. And now we find out that this swine flu is really human, avian, and swine flu. Interesting. So this document is just, it's made it broader than, I mean, we talked about the Virginia Fusion Center document. We talked about the other DHS document, the 12-page Veterans Are Bad document. We brought you the MIAC report. Folks, nothing even comes close to as broad as this is. And just like all the other ones, this is going after non-Islamic extremism poses a threat to the United States. A domestic threat. Remember, this is not anything to do with Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or any other boogeyman they want to put out there with a turban on his head and a brown skin tone. Okay? This is everybody. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter your religion. Although they really do pick on Christians in this. I'm not going to lie. But of course, this document is not for you and me. Again, we have people inside who are pissed off when they read this stuff and they release it to us. Don't you get it, DHS? You can't hire around the populace. People are going to be upset when they read that this contains information that may be exempt from public release under the Freedom of Information Act. So in other words, if I didn't know this document existed, I just knew of a rumor or a couple pages were printed, and I write out a FOIA, they can say, no, we don't have to give it to you. It is to be controlled, stored, handled, transmitted, distributed, and disposed of in accordance with DHS policy relating to FOUO information, and is not to be released to the public, the media, or other personnel who do not have a valid need to know without prior approval. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. We will be back after this.
Like I'm crazy.
Documents like this one do drive me crazy because they want to generalize everybody as a terrorist. No matter what you do, no matter what your belief system is, you are the potential threat. You are the extremist, folks. And the alternative media is pumped out in this document, this need-to-know-only document for our eyes only. Not for us. This isn't meant for me to be reading right now. This shouldn't be around. But again, people are pissed, and they have every right to be pissed. All right? When somebody who is a lone extremist or a member of the alternative media, like myself, like Alex Jones, is targeted as a terrorist, it is unbelievable. Let me just read it to you. I mean, this is right off the bat here, right here, front row and center. The second one they list is alternative media. And they say that this is a term used to describe various information sources that provide a forum for interpretations of events and issues that differ radically from those presented in mass media products and outlets. So if you disagree with CNN, and you disagree with what MTV and Viacom are pushing, you're a potential terrorist? I mean, is that the height of insanity or what? And let's face it, folks, the majority of what we do here is I get a stack of news published in the mainstream media, and I read it to you, and I explain what it means. And so am I really that radically different when I tell you they're globalists, they want a new world order, when there's headlines all over the place, Obama's new world order, Barack Obama and the new world order, the G20 and Gordon Brown's new world order. I'm the bad guy for reading that? I'm an extremist. I must be extreme. I mean, all I want is my Constitution and Bill of Rights back. I haven't advocated for anything else. And what do? They pull our YouTube channels. That's because they are failing. In fact, I've got a article in the stack, a huge stack of stuff here. My God. But basically, the Boston Globe, which is owned by the New York Times, looks like it's about to go belly up. We've been talking about this for a while. It's the death of the old school media because they lie. They lie on a level that people are starting to understand that the politicians in them are so cuddled tight together in bed. It's Spoon City. It's literally Spoon City between Time Magazine and the Senate. That's the deal. It's like, I don't know who the big spoon is. I don't know who the little spoon is. They probably switch it up every once in a while, but that's how they roll. And the New York Times is basically saying they're not going to pull the plug on the Boston Globe yet, but it could definitely be coming in because they're 20 million down in concessions. You know, I forgot. This is kind of a story. I kind of wanted to touch on it only because he's a Bohemian Grove member and he's dead today. Also a big football star, kind of a pop culture icon. Jack Kemp died last night. And, you know, there's a guy who went from the elite on the football field into the political elite and really got into the inner circles there. You know, he did make his way up through the Bohemian Grove. He did become the right-hand man of George Herbert Walker Bush for a while. He was the vice presidential candidate under Bob Dole. So he really was an inner circle guy, and he is no longer with us. So I wanted to mention that in the midst of this document. He was a privileged somebody. He probably could have been able to read this DHS document. Good for him. Good for you, Jack. Let's see, if you are an anti-abortionist, a movement of groups or individuals who are virulently anti-abortion and advocate... See, it's always they say we advocate violence. Okay, alternative media does not advocate violence. I don't advocate violence, but they lump you into anarchists. Let's see, what's the other one? Aryans, black nationalists, black power movements... you know, all the black separatism, Christian identity, and apparently the Christian identity maintain that non-Jewish whites are God's chosen people. I don't know. I don't even know what that means because I'm not one of those guys. Because I don't care what religion you are. Because I don't care what your skin color is. Okay? But what I do care about is when they say anti-immigration extremism. Right here. Want to know what it takes to be an anti-immigration extremist? A movement of groups or individuals who are vehemently opposed to illegal... Let me repeat that again. Something that's illegal. We're opposed to something that's illegal. Vehemently opposed to illegal immigration, particularly along the U.S. southwest border with Mexico. Well, first of all, I think both borders should be closed. And I don't think the problem's Canadians coming in and taking our jobs. Okay, when it gets to that point, first of all, the border at Canada is so much more secure than the United States-Mexico border. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's not make it that kind of an issue. And by the way, it's anybody who comes here and doesn't do it the right way and is taking jobs that I'm against. I don't care if they're Mexican. I could care less. But then they mix it in. See, here it comes. And who have been known to advocate or engage in criminal activity and plots. And plot acts of violence and terrorism to advance their extremist goals. Let's stop. Let's just stop for a second. Where are the anti-Mexican terrorists? Where in the world has there been terrorism based on anti-Mexican immigration? Can you name one place in the world? I'm not just talking about the United States of America. I'm talking about the globe. There has been none. So why do they put that in there? They put that in there to try to give you terrorism. Oh, they're terrorists if they're anti-immigrationists. They're not just extremists. They're going to pull acts of violence. What? Huh? Wait a minute. You're assuming that there's already been terror. No, there has. There's been terrorism all over from those people who don't like the Mexicans. Now shut up and take the report. I mean, come on. Here's the next part of it. Because violence and terrorism. Violence and terrorism have never happened. I mean, violence happens in every case. That's a crime. It's not terrorism. Let's say it again. Violence is a crime. It's not terrorism. If I punch somebody in the mouth, I am not a terrorist. I'm a violent person. So there's a huge leap of difference between a terrorist and somebody who is violent. And remember, there has never been any terrorism in the world based on anti-Mexican immigration, but that's not what this document would have you believe. They say that anti-immigration extremists are highly critical of the U.S. government's response to illegal immigration and oppose government programs that are designed to extend rights to illegal aliens, such as issuing them driver's licenses or national identification cards and providing in-state tuition, medical benefits, or public education. They're not citizens! They shouldn't have a driver's license. How do they get a driver's license if they can't be? I've got to go through hoops to get a driver's license. I got to show my social security card. I got to show my birth certificate. I got to give a thumbprint. I got to be a U.S. citizen. I could care less if they're Mexican. If you're opposed to that, you're an extremist? I mean, come on. Oh, I'm opposed to illegal activity. I'm a terrorist who might use violence against Mexicans because it's happened so many times before. All the terrorism that's anti-Mexico. Please. The next one is even more outlandish. I don't know if it could possibly be more outlandish than being against illegal immigration. I mean, I think that's my right as a citizen to say, hey, these people should, if they're going to be here, they should become citizens. That's all I'm saying. They should do it legally. Big deal. I'm a bad guy. I'm the bad guy. Anti-technology extremism. Remember, You could be an extremist and a terrorist if you're anti-technology. And, you know, I've always taken the position that technology is a double-edged sword. It can be used to empower or to enslave. Let's say it again, to empower or to enslave. But they say this is a movement of groups or individuals opposed to technology. Well, I'm sorry if I have to make it a report that there might be some problems with the big dog in combat that can just walk up and gun you down. I'm sorry if I have to report that there's penguins that are now being released into the ocean that are cybernetic, that they have stingrays like that. They have the robofish. You know, people should know this stuff. That doesn't make me anti-technology or an extremist. But at the same time, you know, there has to be a limit. You have to stop and say, you know, should we really build the machine that's a lot smarter than us and more mobile and, you know, might, you know, pose a problem to us in the future? This is a discussion. It's a First Amendment right to talk about technology, but apparently not anymore. These groups have been known to advocate or engage in criminal activity and plots, acts of violence and terrorism in an attempt to advance their extremist goals. Again, terrorism. There has been zero terrorism in the world that is anti-technology. One guy, Ted Kaczynski, sent out some letter bombs. One guy. That's not a group of extremists. That's the biggest case. And there's never been anything like that for anti-immigration extremism. But they say there's been terrorism for that too. There hasn't been any. Do you understand? They are trying to get you to take terrorism to the next level. Everything is terrorism. Yet it's never happened. Again, history of the world. No anti-Mexican immigration terrorism ever. No anti-technology terrorism ever. Ever. It's never happened. Ever. Next ridiculous one. Well, not that the majority of these aren't ridiculous, but I've got a baker's dozen in here that are just off the charts. You know, unbelievable. Decentralized terrorist movement. A movement of groups or individuals who pursue shared ideological goals through tactics of leaderless resistance independent of any larger terrorist organization. Now, notice they didn't say that anybody committed a crime or was going to commit terrorism or that they were part of a group or shared any kind of a belief system other than an ideological one between each other. So broad that literally anybody could be a decentralized terrorist. Anybody. You don't have to commit a crime. You don't have to talk about committing a crime. You don't have to think about committing a crime. If they don't like you, they can call you a decentralized terrorist. And that's not the only one that is just for individuals and so broad in base that it could literally be your four-year-old, your teenager, your mom, your dad, your uncle, your aunt, anybody, your kid. Your kid could be a terrorist. How would that make you feel? Huh? Little Joey gets to do life in prison because the Supreme Court is now going to rule that they can put kids in prison for life, by the way. That's up now. We're going to cover that story later. But they're voting on that. Yeah, let's give minors life in prison. Look, there are some minors that have committed some pretty just horrendous act, but they're going to use it to threaten young children with life in prison if they don't go along with the program. The call in line is 866-582-9933. That's 866-582-9933. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. Jason Burmes, we're going to be taking your calls, 866-582-9933. And we're really just going over this latest DHS document. Remember, over at Infowars.com, there is a mainline article. DHS document lists alternative media as potential terrorists. Folks, it's much worse than that. And we're going to go to Jim, George, and more in a moment. Ethnic-based extremism. A movement of groups or individuals who are drawn together and form extremist beliefs based on their ethnic or cultural background. Now, that just seems to me that, you know, people who believe in a religion, I mean, if you look, if that's their thing, if they're the ones, you know, I mean, these people, members have abdicated to engage in criminal activity and have plotted acts of violence. That's the main line. Notice that that's like in every single one. Members have plotted or advocated or engaged in criminal activity and plotted acts of violence and terrorism in an attempt to advance their extremist goals. It's almost in every single one. Yet they don't give any examples, ever. Ethnic-based extremism. See, what they're doing is also trying to go after actual criminals, you know, like MS-13. MS-13 is a racist, race-based gang out there. You may have seen them on, you know, they're all over the History Channel and the Discovery Channel. Now, they're Bad News Brown. There's no doubt about it. But prosecute them based on the laws, not based on terrorism. There's no need for this document. Prosecute them based on the fact that they're gang members, they shoot people, and they commit acts of violence. That's enough. See, we have laws to prevent that. Don't make them terrorists because they're not. They're dudes with tattoos and wife beaters. That's it. They're not terrorists. Extremist group. That's the next one. An ideologically driven organization that advocates or attempts to bring about political, religious, economic, or social change through the use of force, violence, now here it is, or ideologically motivated criminal activity. So again, if you're trying to change the political system and it's ideologically motivated, it can be terrorism? What? Aren't we in a constant struggle in this country based on the First Amendment to change politics? Wasn't this last president all about change we can vote for? Change we can. Is he a terrorist? Well, quite frankly, he's more of a terrorist out there than any of the people that they're trying to list in this. But again, it's so broad. It's so out of control. And here comes the hacktivism. Okay? This is another nexus point into the cybersecurity bill of 2009. And this is the use of cyber technologies to achieve a political end. A technology-enabled political or social activism. Now, they're going to say that this is using YouTube, this is using Google Video, because they already said that in the Virginia Fusion Center document. Remember that. Oh, you use MySpace, you use Google, you use Twitter? Terrorist. Hacktivism. Do you understand they want to stop the web? This is another reason they don't like the Alex Jones channel. They didn't like the 30 million views it had. They didn't like that it was number one for days. Hacktivism. And you will see more and more of this as more and more of these DHS documents come out. They don't like MySpace. They don't like Google Video. They don't like YouTube. They don't like InfoWars, I'll tell you that. They don't like programs like this one because we reach people. And they're trying to make it an act of terrorism to reach people through the internet. Hacktivism.
It's hey, Burmese.
Yes, sir.
I've got an idea. We're working on a little secret film coming out next week. I've got an idea. How about we start warning police and the government and the military about government terrorists that killed 200 million people last century and are the number one cause of death, unnatural death on the planet? How about we do what the Founding Fathers did and stand up against tyranny and point out parasitic, bloated, pot-bellied, degenerate bankers sucking off the people? How about we stand up against the real scum? How dare them say the alternative media are a bunch of terrorists? They are the terrorists. They're the ones that killed 1,300,000 Iraqis, and the world's getting wise to this. So, folks, when you lose your standard of living, when you lose your car, when you lose your house, remember, the bankers did it, and they're laughing about it, and they think it's real funny. But look, the Alex Jones channel, that thing's been around about a year and a half, and it wasn't my channel, and people kept emailing me. You know, they make controversies out of anything. Hundreds of emails and calls, is this your channel, is it not your channel? And so I contacted the guy that was running it and said, hey, I guess we'll make this the official channel if you'd like. You know, we'll just get the codes and help you post stuff sometimes. But, I mean, we've got a whole bunch of YouTube channels, a whole bunch of people post stuff. You know, there's and I never really get too obsessed on it. But it got about 40,000 subscribers. And it was getting about, on average, about 500,000 views a week. Last week, about 1.2 million. And I've been noticing that. I'm like, hey, that's, you know, 1 million people a week. That's the, you know, this is going to be neat. And we're reaching new people through it. And so they have this three strikes, you're out. And it's like, oh, you showed a news article. We're going to go ahead and we're going to ban your channel, but everybody else can show whatever they want. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. And everybody's allowed to show news articles. Go ahead and show folks a news article, just like Washington Journal does on C-SPAN. Oh. This isn't going to shut us down.
Before we go to your calls, Jim, George, Tim, Matt, and others, and finish up on this DHS document before we have our guest on in the top of the second hour, I want to take the time to thank a couple of my sponsors. The first one being e-cigarettes, and that's at ecigarettesusa.com. Now, what is an e-cigarette? E-cigarettes is an electronic cigarette, and there is no tar in this thing. There's no arsenic, no cyanide. It's not, I wouldn't say this is healthy for you. It is definitely the healthier alternative to smoking. If you are smoking and you cannot quit, this thing looks like a cigarette, acts like a cigarette, gives you the buzz of a cigarette. And the best part about it is you can smoke it inside because it's not really smoke, it's vapor. So you can actually bring this into a bar, puff away. You don't have to go out into the cold during the winter or go out into a windy night. ecigarettesusa.com, they're going to be sending me a sample. I've actually used one a couple times, and a few of the radio shows that I listen to, the Shock Jock stuff, are also promoting this, and I think this is just the coolest sponsor to have, and I hope that we keep them for a while. ecigarettesusa.com, and I'm telling you, once you get on this thing, you're going to be totally hooked, and probably be a healthy thing for you. You know, get the tar out, get the arsenic out of your body. You know, cigarettes filled with bad stuff. Bad news brown on the cigarettes. And then, of course, I want to thank mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. And, not a lot to say about My Solar Backup. Look, you want to get off the grid? You want to pay less in the electric bill? They got a plan for you. You can go little time. You can go big time. You know, if you really want to go green, if you really actually want to do something that is good for the environment, that will save you some money in the long run, MySolarBackup.com. This isn't false promises and, you know, carbon dioxide taxes. No, this is you getting off the grid. You know, this is something that people like Jesse Ventura do to get off the grid. They get solar panels. They do it up. And it really leaves you independent of the bastard energy companies that are out there. So ecigarettesusa.com, that's 888-502-4972 if you don't got the internet. And, of course, mysolarbackup.com. All right, let's go to our first caller. Let's go to Jim in California. Jim, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
Rachel, yes, sir.
Am I good on this? I go to handheld.
You should probably go handheld because I'm losing you on and off, Jim.
Okay. First, I want to say thanks for all your sacrifice and your work. You've been a real inspiration to me, and I've been handing out a lot of stuff that you've done, and it's been really good.
Very, very cool.
So this change was a big inspiration for a lot of people, and I've handed out DVDs on that, and it's been really cool. Basically, I wanted to talk to you because you're the document guy. You're the guy who wants to back up everything you said and, provide all the relevant information and all the rest of that.
Mm-hmm.
I made a couple of audio CDs of the interview you did with G. Edward Griffin.
Okay.
And that's been a big hit with a lot of people.
Oh,
actually been better than the 9/11 stuff and the rest of that, because people are really hurt by the economic thing and all the rest that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool to hand out an audio version of your interview with G. Edward Griffin.
And by the way, G. Edward Griffin just does amazing work. It's not just the Creature from Jekyll Island, folks. He gives an unbelievable presentation on what we discuss here, quote-unquote, the New World Order and the roundtable groups that really brought this idea into fruition, and it continues still. But continue.
Actually, that's the one I've been that I made a copy of and I've been handing out.
Excellent.
I'd like to send it to you at some point, which was an audio CD of the interview you did with him on that particular topic,
mm-hmm.
and then an audio CD that interview that he did with an investment counselor, Jim Pavlov, I think his name was,
mm-hmm.
On his financial side of it.
Cool.
But what I really wanted to talk to you about was you and Alex have gotten together on a lot of great stuff, and I'm glad that you went, are working out of Austin and all the rest. It's really inspiring. I think it's been, a great move that you made as far as that goes. What I'd like to be able to hand out with people is a backup PDF CD, which has a bunch of documentation of all the kind of stuff on 9/11, all the stuff on AIDS, the stuff on the swine flu and the rest mm-hmm. of that, all the relevant PDF documents on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that InfoWars would put together a site where we could download a bunch of those PDFs and hand those out as sort of backup documentation.
Well, I'll tell you what I can do. I can put the word out on that for someone else to do it, because, I had somebody who got at me on MySpace and they wanted information, for instance, on population reduction. They were looking for some PDF files on that, and obviously that runs the gamut from news articles, people like, right-hand man of Gordon Brown talking about population reduction, people in Australia talking about it, people talking about sustainability here like Ted Turner. But when I did a little Google search, one of the best articles, of course, was a PrisonPlanet.com article, and that article in itself had about 15 to 20 different links to, think tank groups and all that other stuff. Hopefully, we can get somebody else on that, because I'm going to tell you it's going to be almost an impossibility here since we're doing new stuff all the time. And we do have archive systems that if you do go to each article and you check down the month and line in InfoWars and Prison Planet, you can go to our articles, which, again, have the source articles and them. The old school InfoWars had a very good archive system. So did the old school Prison Planet, both put together by Paul Joseph Watson. They're still up there. They're still around. So if somebody could update that, I'm putting the word out. I know there's people out there with the Alex Jones channel. Someone else put up the InfoWarrior channel. We can't do it all. We've already put the information out there. If somebody could get it together for a more palatable experience that would help people out like Jim, I thank you for the call, sir. I got to move to the next one. Let's go to George in Indiana. George, you're on the line.
Yeah, Jason, how's it going?
Good, man.
Great, great. Listen, I just thought of something tonight, and I looked at it, and I said, wow. They attacked the World Trade Center in February 26, 1993.
Yes.
And again, September 11th, 2001. They both add up to 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know these people are into occult and Satanism and numerology, Well, for this year, June 6, 2009, or November 11, 2009, would duplicate what happened on September 11. I don't know if that means anything, but I thought it was interesting that both of them added up to 2021.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll keep an eye out for the date, see if there's any drills or if anything does happen. Who knows? You know they are into the cult. They are into numerology. I mean, folks, the World Trade Center looked like a giant 11. You think that was a coincidence? You think 9-11, when everybody was dialing 911 that morning, is a coincidence? Hard for me to swallow that that's all coincidence, George. I thank you for the call. Let's jump to Matt in Nevada. Matt, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, how are you, brother?
Good.
Hey, man. My name is Matt. I'm calling from the U.S. Navy out in Nevada. I want to say thanks for all you and Alex do. Your courage to make those films shook me down to my core and my foundation. Really opened my eyes, man. I'm out of the box, and I'm all geared up for freedom. Question I want to ask is in regards to this DHS garbage that you're mm-hmm. talking about. Mm-hmm. What is a anti-technology extremist?
Dude, I haven't even gotten to the bad stuff. Anti-technology extremist, just somebody who says, hey, they don't even really define it. They just say, oh, they're just people who don't like new technology. No, we're pointing out the fact, again, it's a double-edged sword. You know, it can be used to empower, and it can be used to enslave. You know, you can make it.
That's my point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, brother, all I'm saying is today, brother, what about our friends that are Amish? What about our Mennonite friends? God bless them for the freedom to do that and express mm-hmm. themselves. They're so low tech. They churn butter and make clothes by hand.
And I grew up with those people, by the way.
Don't take
I actually
that away from them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous. What's
dude, it's crazy.
Country,
and you know, some of the most honorable people in business that I found, especially as a young man, were the Amish. You would go down to wood mill, and they would hook it up. You know, they took cash. They take care of their family. They are in their belief system. So what? Look, you think that's bad? I didn't even read you. Listen, here's another one. Leaderless resistance. A strategy that stresses the importance of individuals and small cells acting independently and anonymously outside formalized organizational structures to enhance operational security and avoid detection. It is used by many types of domestic extremists. So because I say to other people, copy our movies and hand them out and go out and give people pamphlets, that is a leaderless resistance. I always tell people, be their own leader. So now I'm a terrorist, I'm an extremist. That's in this document. Next one. Left-wing extremism. By the way, they have right-wing extremism here. If you're, you know, and I don't like the socialists, I don't like the communists, I don't like the anti-capitalists, but at the same time, we have freedom of speech in this country. They're allowed to be that way, but now they're terrorists. Here it is right here. Lone terrorist. This is the one that really just encapsulates everybody. An individual motivated by extremist ideology. Remember, extremist ideology is not defined. It's just somebody who believes in something. To commit acts of criminal violence interdependent of any larger terrorist organization. So again, committing acts that are criminal are now terrorism. And this is so broad, it can be anybody. You just have to be one person, and all of a sudden, you're a terrorist. It is crazy. Go read the document yourself. It's up at Infowars.com right now. Thank you for the call, Matt. Let's jump to Josh in North Carolina. Josh, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason. So it is I once again, called in last week. The IT guy, he used to work at Motorola, brought up, Inslaw, all of that good stuff, Promise,
yep.
P-Tech. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So a couple ongoing points. There is a system that anti-Illuminati, myself, have exposed, and Sane has made a few comments on the forum, known as Caesar. Now, the important thing behind this system is the fact that what this system is designed to do is it's designed to take the control out of the hands of the generals. Entirely everybody, as a matter of fact. Basically, we even have case studies showing, and they cite, failures like Bosnia and Kosovo, where humans were in control, and they say, look, case studies like the Gulf War, which we planned in advance from 1984 to 1985 was the final groundwork plans by this computer. They cite the entire operation they carried out in Indonesia, all as being successes, so that every time they hand it over to Caesar, they have successes. And on top of it all, we found documents admitting where they're using Caesar to now calculate us as being the enemy and plot the solutions.
Well, it sounds like you might be involved in some hacktivism, sir. I mean, that's a terrorist act, according to this DHS document. If you're going to use cyber technologies to achieve a political end, I mean, let's face it, you must be a terrorist. It sounds like Caesar's a good thing.
Yes, if you think that, you know, a massive computer much like Skynet controlling humans instead of machines is a good thing, I suppose so.
Oh, yeah, well, sir, don't you understand? If you're anti-technology, you're obviously anti-Terminator scenario, and we want that. We want a destitute Earth where the machines rise up and kill the majority of the population. Dare we speak out against it, Josh? I thank you for the call and the humor because it is so ridiculous. Do you really want to entrust all of our decisions to a computer? To a computer? Huh? Do you? Do you want to? Because they want to in the Zeitgeist movement, apparently. Apparently, computers should make humans' decisions. That makes a lot of sense. You know, artificial intelligence. So we don't need any real intelligence anymore. Let's jump to Brian in Canada. Brian, you're on the air.
Hi. How's it going, Jason?
All right, man.
I just finished a contract of 6 months with Statistics Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I quit is because it was quite apparent in my statistical surveys that I was following their agenda in the sense of doing the diagnostics to see if everything is working.
Mm-hmm.
And it got so depressing I couldn't stand it anymore.
Well, what kind of things would you do stats on?
I did healthcare stats.
Mm-hmm.
I did household income stats, work
mm-hmm.
stats, and in the healthcare one, the one that really bothered me was that I had to ask a handicapped person if they had had sex. And then that's not enough. Somebody would reason away, well, that's reasonable. You might want to know if they have feelings or in their legs or not. But then the next question is, how many times? And the hypocrisy in it is that for other questions that I'd ask, I'd have to make a statement that you might not feel these questions pertain to you, but I have to ask these same questions of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to basically lie in front of this person. When I read the question, I was smacked. It was like a punch in the gut. And I couldn't hide the reaction on my face. But then I had to lie and say, well, no, this is like the others. We ask it of everybody. But it wasn't true. I had never asked anybody that question, but that handicapped person.
And what do they usually do with these statistics and data points? They usually use it against people, don't they? I mean,
yes,
it's for the bottom line.
I'll give you a good idea of how they use it against you. In the town where I was, they fluoridate the water. And when you're speaking to the people, you're telling them that you're getting these statistics so that if there's any improvements needed in the area, that they can address the issues, the local governments and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And the hiring at this place kind of coincided with all the financing that's coming out for water systems and waterworks. And so I get the impression we're being sent around to see, like, who's waking up and who's not. And I checked out the side effects that fluoride has on you. When it comes to osteoporosis, thyroid.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like
and it dumbs
and
you down. It makes you more docile,
yeah,
bro.
And in this town where I was, everybody had problems like that. But let's say I go to another locale and those people don't have fluoridated water. They're in better health, but they also might make statements. And they tell us, you know, if they make a statement, write it down. We want to know what they have to say. Yeah, because if they know you're waking up, they're going to go and fluoridate the water there. And they're going to come out with all kind of infrastructure improvements.
Well, Brian, it's going to be even worse, brother. And I thank you for the call. You think fluoride's bad. They just did a study in Japan that says lithium in the water curbs suicide. It's time to put lithium in the water. That's right, lithium. The drug that, I mean, it's like an alternative for morphine. It's zombie world. They want zombies. And they're saying, oh, no, lithium in the water, less suicides, it'll be good. We'll put it in. Everybody will be happy. Yeah, because they'll be drugged out of their mind. Drugged out of their mind. We're all on drugs involuntarily. You drink tap water, you betcha. You betcha. This guy's telling you that he's asking people's medical history to find out. Not only that, but their psychological history, too. If you make a statement, they want to know about it. It's not for your help. They're not GPSing everybody's house for your help. They're doing it for the control grid. Yeah, we're getting all these calls in the last couple weeks. People are at their door GPSing this, GPSing that. I didn't doubt any of it. They said, oh, no, I think they're targeting the Patriots. I'm like, no, they're targeting everybody. This is an everybody target. They want the entire control grid. Doesn't matter if you're a Patriot or not. They want every place surveilled. They want Google Earth to be Google Earth. The Earth. Every square inch. And technology only gets better and better and better and more advanced. There's no plateau at technology that we have ever seen, ever throughout history. It never just plateaus, folks. It never stops. It's always on an upward scale. We always learn more things. The human race is incredible. It's incredible. We are incredible. Why can't we act like it? Why can't we help our fellow man with our intellect instead of trying to deprave him and dehumanize him, commit genocide against him? It's disgusting. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Be back after this. Calls in the next 5 minutes. Then we have Pastor Steve Anderson coming up, and if you're not familiar with that story, this is the pastor who put out the YouTube video right after being beaten by Border Patrol, and then bringing a cop in. It's an outrageous story. You're gonna want to tune in. Stay tuned for that one. Marty in California, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. I'd like to give some information regarding a network in Mexico that has an English newscast regarding what's going on in Mexico, since they have this designer flu, and the website is in Spanish. It's called www.imagen.com.mx, but there is a blog on there by the lady who does the called Imagine News.
Thing say? Just Imagine News blog. I'm sure people can find it. What is the basis of the report?
Well, it's basically the various broadcasts they've had in the past regarding events in Mexico, and they the only reason why I brought it up is because they talked about the swine flu, and they were talking last night about how, there were 22 deaths, and how there were 590 people sick with the flu in Mexico and 900 cases worldwide. And they were talking about how everyone was locked down, and how, the restaurants only had takeout, and
The WHO is still saying they might declare level 6. I pray to God they won't. This seems like a huge hoax to me. They're saying there's over 1,000 victims now. They're saying that 70 Mexicans, they're not saying this, 70 Mexicans are being quarantined in China, anybody with a Mexican passport. The mainstream media is now reporting on that Hong Kong event like it's a good thing. You know, I've actually had some comments on my theinfowarrior.com website where they're like, oh no, we should quarantine this hotel full of 300 people for 7 days. See, these are beta tests. These are small tests to see what kind of hysteria they can do. You know, I haven't seen it. We're in Texas. We're right next to Mexico. We haven't had one death in this country. The one death they claim to have was a kid from Mexico who was a premature birth and who already had respiratory problems. So you know what? I'm saving up for swine flu after my next guest, and then I got a whole slew of information on that that's new. You know, again, Chan saying that they may go to level 6. We'll cover it in the next segment. Let's go to Gordon in California. Gordon, you're on the line.
Jason, how are you tonight?
Good.
Good. Just a little something on this swine flu thing. I think it's a psyop, just like everybody else kind of come to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. But thought I'd share with you something I saw in our little local town here. This is Bishop, California. It's in the middle of the Owens Valley and about 300 miles from nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting out on the main street, which is the main trucking route going through town, with my girlfriend having coffee. And off one of the side streets, which just happens to go to the high school, comes a little box delivery truck. Mm-hmm. It says Baxter Pharmaceutical.
No. The good people at Baxter are here to help. You know,
they
it doesn't
are
matter.
Everywhere. Yeah. They're everywhere, apparently. And I mean, if you use the logic, this would be at the end of the distribution chain, you know, if they were trying to get this stuff out for whatever they got planned.
But they say that the vaccine's not going to be ready for a couple weeks. I wonder why it's already out there. Could it be the tainted vaccination for bird flu? Remember, this swine flu is really also avian flu. It's also human flu. And it's my guess that if they didn't get caught, you know, injecting people with two types of avian flu and one type of human flu in their supposed avian flu vaccination, but they would have said that this is bird flu too and not swine flu. After all, they only found the first pigs in Canada ever with the quote-unquote swine flu this past weekend. I thank you for the call. We got our guest coming up in the next hour. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
No one knows who gave the orders. No one asks about the crime. No one looks behind the curtain. And no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow. I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now until the end.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And I am now joined by my guest, Pastor Stephen Anderson. And if you remember, I think it was about 2-3 weeks back, the day after it happened, I want to say it was definitely in April, and I had gotten a slew of emails about this this guy's story, and I clicked on it. And I got to tell you, he did the smartest thing that he could have possibly done after this horrific incident, and we're going to have him review this incident, is he put it on YouTube. You know, right now, police officers, anybody with authority, they're out of control. They think they have the power. They think they're untouchable. And we hope that that's not the case. We hope that we still have our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and that justice will be served, especially in this case where this man was obviously wronged, where his, you know, truck was virtually destroyed. They pounded out a couple windows. They beat his face in, and then they charged him and made him spend the night in jail. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that this can happen in America. Stephen, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So for those that don't know the story, why don't you just recap what happened to you a couple weeks ago and why you put this YouTube video out?
Sure. Well, basically, I was just coming home from a business trip, doing some fire alarm work over in San Diego. So I'm coming home on the Interstate 8, and I'm 75 miles east of Yuma in Arizona, and I pull into one of these Border Patrol checkpoints. But let me say that this is 50 miles from Mexico, and I'm on a highway that goes from west to east. So I'm not crossing any border, but I'm stopped at this checkpoint, and I've been through these things hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. And I pull up, and a couple Border Patrol agents start hitting me with a whole bunch of questions, and I basically didn't answer any of their questions. I just said, can I please go? Am I free to go on my way? And, you know, they were asking me, where are you headed? What do you do for a living? That kind of stuff. Well, mm-hmm. when I didn't answer the questions, they said, go to secondary. Go to the secondary inspection area. We're going to search your vehicle. And I said, no, I don't want to go to secondary inspection area. I want to go home. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, basically at this point, they bring out a dog and say, well, this dog alerted us that you either have drugs or a human being in the trunk of your car. You know, I was driving like a 2008 Hyundai Sonata. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what does that mean? You know, what did the dog do? Did it bark? Did it lift its leg? They wouldn't tell me. They wouldn't give me any information, and they whisked the dog away, and I never saw it again. So anyway, I stood my ground. I refused to be searched without a warrant. I said, you know, if you have a warrant, you can search me. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to let you into the car.
Yeah, how dare you be safe and secure with the Fourth Amendment? I mean, how dare you, you know, invoke your First Amendment right to be secure in your persons and property? I mean, it's there. Go ahead.
Exactly. And so I didn't want to be interrogated, and I didn't want to be searched without a warrant. And I invoked the Fourth Amendment. I brought up the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. And basically these guys said it didn't matter. They, you know, they had to search me, this and that. Well, you know, it was kind of a standoff that ensued because I just sat there in my car. You know, they weren't allowing me to leave. They said if I left, then I'd be fleeing the checkpoint, and that's a felony. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I'm not leaving until you tell me that I'm free to go. But I'm not going to consent to be searched. Mm-hmm. So I sat there, and things went back and forth for over an hour. Well, you know, throughout that hour, I kept asking them to bring the dog back out. They wouldn't bring it back out. Mm-hmm. You know, I never saw that dog again.
And that's when another officer came up, and he's like, you know, what's the problem? And he said, officer, you know, they said that this dog said that there was either drugs or a human body in my car. Why don't you have them take the dog out and see if this is the case? And then they refused, correct?
Exactly.
All right, we're going to come back to Pastor Stephen Anderson after this. If you haven't seen the YouTube video, you need to. He says it all right there with fresh wounds on his face. We want to get the latest. We want to see what's happening with this case. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. My father.
Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away.
And that's what happened here, folks. God forbid you say, hey, I have a Fourth Amendment. They will come and take you away. And it is not paranoia. The police, authorities in general in this country have gotten out of control. They think they have godlike powers and they rule over you, even when you're an innocent guy, when you haven't done anything wrong. And we're at the point of Stephen's story where he's asked for the dog to come back out so that the officer can see that, well, there might be a dead body or drugs in the car. And that just doesn't happen. They refuse to take the dog out. What happens next, Stephen?
Well, the one who asked to bring the dog out was basically the Arizona State Police, which is known as the DPS, Department of Public Safety. They are the ones who showed up, and I implored them to get the dog back out there. And the DPS officer seemed that was reasonable. He asked them. They wouldn't do it. So he said, I was under arrest. And I said, you know, he said, we're going to search the car whether you like it or not, so you might as well just let us in to search it. I said, well, if you're going to search the car, you're going to search the car. But I said, you know, I'm not going to give you permission to search this car. I'm not going to open it up for you, mm-hmm. you know. So I said, you do what you got to do. So anyway, I sat there, and basically the officer goes to the passenger side window, and he starts tapping on the glass with a little hammer. And I had also heard him say to the Border Patrol agents, oh, we'll take it from here. Don't worry, we got it, kind of acting like he was the only one who was going to do this,
mm-hmm.
him and his partner, that is. Well, they're tapping on that passenger window for over a minute. I didn't really understand why, but they just kept tapping away at that passenger window. Well, to my left, there's three Border Patrol agents or so kind of crowded around my door, and they didn't have any hammers out. They didn't have anything out. They were just kind of standing there, and one of them says to me, you know, cover your eyes. There's going to be glass, because I was expecting that passenger window to break out.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my face in my hands. You know, I put my hands over my eyes like they told me to do, and as soon as I was in that position with my eyes closed, hands in my face, both windows shattered. The one that was just inches from my head and the passenger window shattered simultaneously, and I was just instantly tased. So the moment that taser hit me, you know, these two metal projectiles plug into me and that 50,000 volts begins to flow, well, I'm totally paralyzed because that's what the taser does, in addition to, you know, putting you in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in extreme pain and I'm paralyzed. I can't move anyway. Well, all of a sudden, a hand comes from the left and grabs my head and shoves it into the broken glass that was left from the window that was just busted out right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
So my head is just shoved into that glass. I could feel the glass shoving into my flesh. And my face was just kind of held there for a while, just pressed against that door for some extended period of time. Well, you know, I'm jammed into that glass. Next thing I know, the door swings open, and I'm rolled out onto the ground. And immediately, somebody just steps on my head.
Oh.
And basically just held their boot on my head for a long time. And it felt like their full body weight on my head. And the electricity never stopped flowing throughout this. Just
mm-hmm.
continual 50,000 volts. And so, because the way these tasers work, there are wires going back to the taser,
mm-hmm.
you know, from these little metal projectiles. And they can just keep extending the length of the you know, the electricity. So,
in other words, they're continually tasing you through this whole point. I mean, they never pull them out. You're already, you know... you know, they didn't ask you to put your hands behind your back. They just beat you up, put their hand on the head, they tase you, and then anytime they feel like it, they up the tase again. They never pull them out of your chest or whatever.
Right. Well, I'll tell you right now, there was not even a second where the electricity stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a continual flow of electricity.
Meanwhile, these things have killed people before.
Put your hands on the steering wheel. They just immediately got violent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm laying on the ground. Somebody's standing on top of my head. And I'm just continuously electrified by this 50,000-volt taser. and, you know, blood's gushing out of my head, obviously, from where they shoved it in the broken glass. And I'm just asking myself, what do I have to do to get these guys to stop? You know, I was just screaming in pain, as any person would probably do when experiencing this. I'm just screaming in pain, and I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking, how long are they going to do this to me? When is this going to stop? I'm not resisting. I never resisted. I never lifted a finger. Mm-hmm. So why are they doing this to me? And finally, I decided to stop screaming because I thought maybe they're waiting for me to go silent. You know, what are they looking for? So then I got silent for a while. I was just trying to figure out what to do to get them to stop. Finally, you know, the electricity stops. The Border Patrol agent takes his boot off my head, and I hear a chorus of voices yelling, "Get up, get up, get up!" You know, they kind of stagger me to my feet. Mm-hmm. Blood's gushing out of my head, and they walk me up to the Border Patrol trailer. And I caught a glimpse of my reflection. It was just nothing but blood. I mean,
well, you can tell by the injuries after the fact that your face must have been covered. I mean, folks, the whole, I think it was the left side of your forehead is just all cut up and bloody even after you've cleaned up.
Oh, yeah, that was after the people at the hospital cleaned me. There was no photograph taken of me until after the hospital had cleaned me. They stitched it, and then they scrubbed it for like over a half hour, just scrubbing on it. And then they finally just said, well, that's the best we could do, because there was all this dirt and blood just rubbed into my face. And like I said, you couldn't see any of my face. It was just mm-hmm. a bloody mask, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. So they put me in this Border Patrol trailer. You know, I'm cuffed behind my back. They set me in like a desk office chair. And, you know, they threw a bandage on my head real quick, you know, because they had to stop the bleeding, obviously. And then they laughed at me, made fun of me. Oh, you're not so tough now, huh? And, oh, you didn't think we were going to search you. I guess we won this time, huh? I guess we did get to search you after all, didn't we? And guess what they found when they searched me? Nothing. Because I didn't have anything illegal.
And did they even apologize? Not. I mean, did they act upset that they didn't find anything? I mean, you're the one that really wins this. I mean, you take a beating from a bunch of thugs for no reason other than they don't know the law and they think they're tough guys. And then they search your car, no bodies, no drugs whatsoever. They still charge you.
Exactly. And, you know, it was 12 against one. I counted 12 guys at one point surrounding my car. So, I mean, literally, I counted.
Yeah.
And it's on my camcorder. I had a camcorder with me, but of course they confiscated my camcorder. I still don't have it back to this day.
But you were able to catch some of this on video beforehand?
Well, you know, not the beating, obviously. But
yeah, obviously.
Because at that point my camera launched and shut off and whatever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had a camera. I wasn't holding it, but it was just sitting on my dash mm-hmm. during a lot of this. But I don't have that camera. It's a $400 camcorder. I don't have it to this day. They confiscated it from me.
So let's get into this now.
And I'm trying to get it back.
Exactly. You end up having not only get charged. I'm not sure what they charged you with, but it wasn't like obstruction of justice or assaulting a police officer, something totally and completely ridiculous?
No, none of that, because here's the thing. That is so far from the truth. They didn't even try to accuse me of any of those things.
Okay.
This is what they accused me of. Failure to obey the officer's order, because he told me to open the car door. So I got charged with failure to obey the mm-hmm. officer's order, and I got charged with obstructing the highway because this is their warped rationale. They stopped me, but because I didn't cooperate fast enough, I was the one blocking the road, even though I was asking to leave the whole time. They're charging me with blocking one of the lanes of the checkpoint.
And I mean, it doesn't even end
so
there.
The
it's not
charges.
Like they.
And they're both
it's
misdemeanors.
Not, yeah, and it's not like they just charge you and let you on your way. You have to spend a night in jail.
Oh, yeah. First, I went to the emergency room, you know, and got 11 stitches put in my head. Then I spent the night in jail. And, you know, I don't know what's happening. I don't know when I'm going to see the judge. I mean, I'm just laying in the cell. I have no sense of time. And it wasn't until late the next morning, like past 11 o'clock, that I was, you know, hauled out before the judge, which was on a video screen. You know, it wasn't really a mm-hmm. flesh and blood judge that was there. So
it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So where is this at now? That's the big question. We're a few weeks down the line. They've charged you. Have you been to court since? I mean, are lawyers talking to you? How can we help? I mean, this is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And you know what? It's an even bigger deal if we just let this kind of stuff go on, because then you're encouraging it, really, mm-hmm. if you let it happen. I mean, where this is at is obviously I have to get declared not guilty of these two misdemeanors. Mm-hmm. So I have a lawyer, Mark Victor, who's representing me, and he's a great lawyer, and so I'm very confident in him. You know, I dropped $4,000 cash the day after this happened on a lawyer just so that I wouldn't have to go to the arraignment without some representation, because I was just, you know, wondering, what are these people going to do to me? As I started seeing how unfair this whole thing was.
Not to mention the damage to your car. I'm sure that at least ran you a few hundred, if not $1,000.
$800 is what I paid, you know, when I got my car out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I don't know if you have time in this segment. I wanted to read for you the latest and greatest that I just got in the mail from the prosecutor.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a couple minutes in this segment and then five on the other side. So let's read that.
Okay. Let me read this for you. This will blow you away. This is from John R. Smith, Yuma County Attorney William P. Cates. Okay, listen to this. The state of Arizona, through the office of the Yuma County Attorney by the undersigned deputy, hereby moves this court to deny the defendant's request for modification of his current conditions of release. Let me just explain real quick. I had asked for permission to leave Arizona. You know, this happened 3 weeks ago, and I'm trying to run my business, and they're saying I can't leave Arizona, even though it's just misdemeanor.
Oh, okay. You're a flight risk now? Is that what they're trying to say? You're a flight risk?
Permission to be able to leave Arizona, just even by car, just to go outside Arizona, because my job requires me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the prosecutor's letter of why I should not be allowed to leave, because of, you know, this misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Anderson's proposed excursion involved the use of state and federal highways, as well as potentially United States Border Patrol checkpoints. Mr. Anderson poses a substantial danger to motorists and law enforcement personnel due to his disregard for the exercise of lawful authority on state and federal roadways. Mr. Anderson has previously displayed an overt willingness to obstruct a major highway and place in jeopardy the health, safety, and welfare of law enforcement personnel and fellow motorists. There is no reason to believe that Mr. Anderson will comply with lawful authority and responsibly use highways and potentially checkpoints on his journey. Did you catch that? They're saying that I shouldn't leave Arizona because if I go through a checkpoint, I might be a danger to the law enforcement personnel.
Yeah, meanwhile,
so
you take a beating.
They beat the living fire out of me, but yet I'm supposedly endangering them? Can you believe that?
It's unbelievably incredible. It's so Orwellian. It is off the charts. We'll be back after this with Steven Anderson. It's the Info Warrior, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com. Jason Burmis, and before we go back to our guest, Steven Anderson, I really want to bring this sponsor up because it's really tailor-made for this story. Diginet.net, that's Diginet.net, and what they do is they fit your car with a surveillance system, hidden cameras that you can just flip a button and everything's recorded to a hard drive so that if something like this does happen to you, at least after the fact, you will have the video evidence. I mean, again, Steven recorded as much as he could before he took a beating from these officers, but they've kept his camera since then. So it's really good if you are somebody who does believe in their Fourth Amendment rights, who believes that their persons and their property shall be secure according to the Constitution and Bill of Rights, that you get this system. It's diginet.net, diginet.net. And really, all he has to go on now is his word against theirs, and we're hoping that's going to be enough, because not only did they beat him and charge him, now they are restricting his movement through the state. Steven, when is your next court date, and how can people help?
Well, we're not even having the pretrial conference until June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
But I say the biggest thing people can do to help is just to get the word out on this, because people need to find out about this. I think that this is happening all the time because these guys didn't act like it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. They took it very nonchalantly, and they seemed like this was just another day at the office for them. And so that makes me wonder how many other people they're beating and abusing who just aren't maybe as vocal as I am, or didn't have the sense to just, before I even got to the house when I was on my way home from jail, to take it to YouTube.
Yeah, that was genius, so. By the way. I mean, when I saw that, I said, this guy is one of the smartest guys out there, because he immediately put this on YouTube, and it really did have a viral effect, and hopefully this will help you in the long run. I mean, first of all, you're a pastor. I'm sure you probably don't have a criminal record. They found nothing.
No, I've never been arrested in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, they found nothing in your car, and I mean, your face says it all. I mean, not only does your face say it with the injuries, but everything you're saying, I mean, you're telling the truth. Anybody looking at you can tell that you're telling the truth, and I wish you the best. I hope that you're able to beat this system, because you know these guys are all going to lie under oath. Oh, he came in, he was so violent, he took a swing at me.
Well, no, you know what, though, Jason? The good thing is, I've already started getting a lot of their versions of the story in the mail from the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I've already got several of them in possession. And really, they're not contradicting anything that I've said about the beating at all. They're basically, you know, thank God they're not getting too crazy with it. Now, they're leaving stuff out. The way they put it is kind of like this. Mm-hmm. You know, we broke both windows at the same time. We tased them, you know, and then we had to tase them again because they were taking too long to get them out of the car. And it's the way they tell it, it's kind of like, well, we took him out of the car, and then, boy, we noticed these big cuts on his head. But they conveniently leave out where the wounds came from, which is the hand that shoved my head into the glass. So they don't really – I think the biggest lie is the omission of parts of the story.
Well, I got to ask you, are they still sticking to their story that the dog identified that you either had drugs or a body in your car? Are they sticking to that lie?
Right. They're basically – it's exactly like my YouTube video. When you look at their statement, they say the dog alerted. I say it didn't. And all I did was just ask for that to be confirmed or explained to me, and they never would. Mm-hmm. And they say in their reports that, you know, they didn't want to bring the dog back out, so they didn't. So, I mean, the reports substantiate everything in my video. Nothing really contradicts anything about the beating or anything. They just conveniently leave out, you know, that part. They just kind of, it's kind of like I was just taken out of the car and then magically all these wounds appeared on my head. They just kind of leave that part out up to the imagination, I guess.
Steven, what's your YouTube channel so people can go check out this video and others if they haven't seen it?
It's S. Anderson 1611.
S. Anderson.
S-A-N-D-E-R 1611.
Well, you know, we're behind you here, and if there's any kind of support people over at InfoWars can give you, you know, we're going to give it to you, because this is just, it's really a sign of the times, and it shows what the mentality is out there of law enforcement officials and how they treat American citizens, and they don't treat them with respect. They don't treat them like they're human beings. They treat them like animals, and I mean, it is beyond appalling to me what happened to you in these last 30 seconds or so. Why don't you just give how you feel about this whole situation and really the state of the country?
Well, let me, you know, in the 30 seconds, there's one more thing I really wanted to say,
mm-hmm.
and that's I did get permission from the judge to leave the state, and mm-hmm. I'm in Texas right now. And
oh,
I
are.
Went through a Border Patrol checkpoint today,
mm-hmm.
and a Border Patrol agent said, "Where are you heading today, sir?" And I said, "That's none of your business,"
mm-hmm.
and he let me go. That was 5 hours ago.
Well, that's the way it should be. I mean, you obviously aren't a criminal. You pose no threat. And we wish you the best here at InfoWars. And we really hope that, well, you give us an update after that first thing in June. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We'll be back taking your calls after this. 866-582-9933. At the Kentucky Derby. We haven't even talked about that. We've covered this DHS document in some length. We just had the pastor on really discussing the corruption of the police and Border Patrol. We talked a little bit about the swine flu. Remember, they supposedly found the first pigs with the swine flu only this weekend, and they were in Canada. And of course, it's a migrant Mexican worker's fault. You see, the Mexican fell sick a little bit later, and he must have passed this swine flu onto the pigs. I mean, the CDC and Bloomberg is saying that this could mutate with other viruses and be a disaster. Senators are proposing mandatory vaccination bills. And of course, the World Health Organization is still saying it may go to a pandemic level 6, even though there have really been no deaths at all in this country. Not a one. The one death was a Mexican child of under 2 years of age, again, who was prematurely born and already had a series of respiratory problems. We had to put things in perspective when we discuss this stuff. I mean, it's total insanity. We're going to continue to go to your calls. It's 866-582-9933. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Mark, you're on the line.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I don't know if I've mentioned this before. Back in the 90s, a friend of mine would take, like, alternative media. I mean, one of the first things that clued me in was Waco Rules of Engagement. This sure. was the alternative media that existed back then.
And back in the day when you were part of that alternative media and you made a documentary as good as Waco Rules of Engagement, you were actually nominated for an Oscar. They were nominated. I don't know if they won, but they were nominated that year. Continue.
Mm, yes. I believe we should prepare contingencies that should they shut down the internet, we want to have a network of people that get out information when information is most vitally needed. And I believe it's mainly an issue of knowing people that you can trust. That mm-hmm. when you're a terrorist because you're telling people that basically corrupt elements within the government, or, you know, it's like, oh, you're anti-government. It's like, I'm not an anarchist. I'm not opposed to the proper and legitimate roles of government. I'm just opposed to the government overstepping its proper boundaries. Of course, they never really explain that part. I believe, and one thing that came to mind is I've heard Alex speak of how frustrated he is that people contact him asking for information. I was wondering if he would be willing to work with a group of volunteers like myself that say, well, you know, not that we're going to presume to speak authoritatively for Alex, but if we could get, like, say if we could get a set of DVDs that basically gave us the major source documents. I think one of the ones that...
Well, it sounds like you're asking a lot like the caller earlier who wanted all these downloadable documents in files that he could burn to disk, something like that, right?
Well,
he was looking
is,
basically for PDF files of actual documents that, you know, would be easy to hand out. And, I mean, we have these in archives, but they are written. First of all, here's the deal. We can't offer just other people's material. I mean, we can put links out there. You know what I mean? We have to write these articles and then source these articles. Listen, one of the complaints against his YouTube channel was that we put up a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette article on the screen as we commentated on it. And supposedly that's copyright infringement. It's absolute insanity. So we do have to toe a certain line. I mean, that's why the forums are there for now, so that people can, you know, get together on those forums. I think that if the internet does go down, it's probably going to be a shortwave radio resistance. But, yo, you're more than welcome to try to get started on the forums. And I know there's a lot of good moderators out there, including JT Coyote, who we had on this program, Anti-Illuminati, who could help you with something like that. And really, We Are Change all across the world is trying to do this same thing. So perhaps it's time to maybe start your own chapter of that and organize with them. I thank you for the call, sir. Let's jump to, who do we got next? I believe it's Rebecca in Tennessee. Rebecca, you're online.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that I think I might be an anti-technology terrorist.
Well, you know what? I didn't even, before you get into that, because we will get into that, I didn't get to read, and there's a lot of these, I didn't get to read the one on the Patriot Movement. I didn't get to read the one on right-wing extremism. I didn't get to read the one on single-issue extremist groups. I didn't get to read the one on sovereign citizen movement, tax resistance movement, or quote-unquote underground. I mean, these are, and of course, violent anti-war extremism, because if you're against the wars that have been going on for the past few years, you must be an extremist. But why might you be an anti-technology terrorist?
Because I'm going to refuse the RFID chip.
Oh, well, that could be terrorism. I mean, we should all take our Chipsy McStigger because it's nice and healthy for us, and it'll regulate this one-world government cashless society control grid oh so well for our leaders. How could you be against that?
You know, I just am.
Really? You don't want a chip? you know, tracking and tracing your every move so that you could be GPS'd at any time, or your credit system could be just taken about like that? You don't want that?
No.
Really? Because it sounds so great, but what if they offer you, like, it's in a video game and it lets you play the latest Xbox or Microsoft product, or better yet, you can surf the internet in your mind with your new brain chip. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it?
I think if they put it in the driver's licenses, I'm going to go to riding a bicycle.
Well, I like your attitude. But yeah, you might be an anti-technology terrorist, according to this document, which is so broad and ridiculous. And you know that there's... Folks, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of these documents all throughout the country. We've shown you but three or four of them. And each one says, hey, this isn't for media consumption. Hey, we can refuse any of this, any portion of this document to the general public under a Freedom of Information Act request, which means it's not for me and you. I mean, this is just another example of why the Department of Homeland Security is a disgusting agency that should not be in existence.
Well, I think, you know, it's more like the German, you know, for the homeland.
Fatherland security. No. Deutschland security. That's listen, it's the same exact thing. They passed the Enabling Act. We passed the Patriot Act. They started Deutschland or Fatherland security. We started Homeland Security. Do you see the parallels out there, folks? Do you get it? Hitler didn't even put this stuff on paper. He didn't dare. And they're putting it on paper all over the place and showing the authorities how to treat you. And that's like a slave terrorist. I thank you for the call, Rebecca. We're going to go to Brian in Indiana. Brian, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason.
Yes, sir.
What's up, homie?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I got to give you props, man. First, a quick comment, then I'll get to the serious question. I got to give you props. I'm also a Stern fan and Bubba fan, too, man.
Yeah, and Bubba's pumping the e-cigarette, too. There's another plug for the e-cigarette. So that's always cool. It's cool to have the same sponsors as Bubba, man. I dig all that stuff. You know, that's what I'm listening to on my commute. It's a little lighter. It's funny. And hopefully one day I will be on XM Sirius, and maybe even on Howard 100 or 101. It's a goal of mine. Let Howard know.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, we should let him know. Do you remember the when Bigfoot was on the Stern Show and he brought up
yes.
Blue Change?
Oh, man, that was the worst, man, because Bigfoot is out of it. Like this, basically, for those that don't know, Bigfoot is like this huge, homeless, smelly guy. And he makes for good entertainment as a whackpacker. But he, you know what the headline about Bigfoot was today? That he was getting evicted from his apartment where he was getting bitten by all these bugs and he was under government surveillance. So, yeah, that's terrible.
God.
But on the other hand, on the flip hand, you know, Bubba the Love Sponge, the crew over there, Brett and Manson, actually did a one-hour Conspiracy Corner special where they played segments of Loose Change and talked about it positively. So, you know.
Yeah, I heard part of that. I just wish Brent would get off the Obama.
Has kind of gotten off the Obama kick. I mean, you know what? Bubba's more Obama now than ever. They had somebody on this week talking about thimerosal and the vaccinations, telling people not to take a swine flu shot.
Yeah, Dr. Diaco.
Yeah, him and his father. And that was awesome. They talk about Ron Paul all the time. He knows about America Freedom to Fascism. He knows about the real tax code. Are they still a little too mainline corny? Yeah, but they're also rednecks from Florida. So, I mean, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
there you go.
I mean, and that's not a cut on rednecks from Florida. I'm just saying they still have that good old boy mentality, kind of Southern mentality where, you know, they don't want to go all the way. Although I think, you know, Brent is gone pretty far.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Can I ask you a serious question?
Sure.
Out of all the names of the people who died on all the flights, has anybody ever matched up to see if these people, one, actually ever existed, or two, if people can trace through the families, if somebody remembers dropping
sure.
them off at the airport?
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
dude, people died. Listen, that whole thing, there was never any passengers or... You know, no, people died. In fact, William Doyle, who lost his son supposedly on Flight 175 going into the tower, he's the head of one of the largest family groups, and he publicly went on Alex Jones. He is a total skeptic. He says over 50% of the family members that he knows are total skeptics. A lot of them believe it's an inside job. The majority of those people, you know, weren't used to propagandize the war in Iraq. Now, are there some suspect names? You bet. I mean, for instance... the big Let's Roll guy, Todd Beamer, right? His wife never even talked to him. Now, everybody heard on the news, oh, this is the guy that said, let's roll. We're going to take over the cockpit. He talked to his wife. His wife wrote a book about it. She was a bestseller, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
She never even talked to her husband. Her husband Who knows if it was really Todd Beamer? I'm not saying it wasn't. I don't know. I know that somebody saying he was Todd Beamer called an AT&T, or I think it was either AT&T or Verizon operator, talked to them for like 10 or 15 minutes. That operator actually offered to patch him into the wife, and he said no. You'd think if it was your last minutes on earth, you would want to talk to your wife. And the way that they propagated that whole thing and the let's roll mentality and people made money, that's a suspect one. You know, there was a lot of military personnel on those planes. The fact that the planes... you know, Barbara Olson, I think, is actually pretty genuine. I think that she probably believes that she talked to her son. She may have talked to her son. Listen, I saw her on the news the next day bawling her eyes out. I've probably gone through more archived news footage from 9/11 and the days following than any other human being on the planet. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying it because it's true, you know. And I saw Olson on several different occasions really crying her eyes out, you know. Barbara Olson's a different one. I'm thinking of, hold on. I'm thinking of the Flight 93 one who lost her son, who said, "Hey, Mom, it's," and he said his last name. I can't remember that mother.
Oh, yeah, this other one was Flight 77.
Yeah, the one you're talking about, Barbara Olson, was actually married to the Solicitor General, and she was a CNN reporter, right? That's Ted Olson?
Yeah, she was friends with Ann Coulter, too.
She was friends with a lot of people in the media because she'd been around, and she was a rather attractive woman. And, you know, I'm not saying that she was a spook or anything like that, but they often recruit people who are in the media. Again, she's married to the Solicitor General of the United States, Ted Olson, and she's a rather attractive woman. You know, I mean, if you looked at Valerie Plame and her husband, Joe Wilson, those are two attractive people. Let's face it. The CIA knows that people get by on their looks, and people are more apt to believe a pretty face. Any con man will tell you that as well. You know what I mean? So is that a possibility there? There's a definite possibility there, but, you know, as far as, you know, no one on the planes and it's all a big hoax, no, a lot of people died. I have talked to several. I mean, that one family member isn't even the only family. William Doyle isn't even the only guy. I've talked to plenty of people. In fact, I came across another one that supposedly died, I believe, on Flight 93. He lost his wife. Who came to a screening of Fabled Enemies on September 10th in New York City this year. So I hope that kind of answers your question. Again, very suspect that all four planes on a Tuesday morning, an early morning flight, where most of these flights are filled to the brim, or if you have like 10 or 15 empty seats, you know, that's kind of shocking. These were all under 30% capacity total. Doesn't make a lot of sense unless there's a setup there. I thank you for the call, Brian. Let's jump to Howard in Pennsylvania. Howard, you're on the air.
I'm going to give you credit for giving me a paradigm shift years ago, and I'm hoping you're going to give me the opportunity to do the same thing for you tonight.
All right, let's do it.
I started listening to Steven Anderson tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to call you about something else, because I wanted to talk about some of the 911 issues,
mm-hmm.
but I had to call you about what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. I've been in this since the 90s,
mm-hmm.
and I've been in it too long. I know too much. He's wrong. Let me tell you why. And I don't want people listening to him to try and emulate what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why he's wrong. He traversed with these people. When he asked them to bring the dog back, he just acquiesced to giving them the authority to use the dog
mm-hmm.
to go after his car. He disobeyed a lawful order from a police officer. I don't care if it's a federal officer. I don't like the fact that these guys are out there doing what they're doing. I see it on YouTube all the time. I think mm-hmm. it's disgusting, but he disobeyed a lawful order.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go to jail. Now, I'm not saying this to, you know what? Yeah, I am saying this to scare people, because people need to listen to what I'm saying. And I'm glad that it's that it's recorded, and that it's going to get replayed, and people can get the podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Because people got to understand this one point. If you watch, there's a guy who's got a website called checkpointusa.org,
mm-hmm.
and he's got about 20-some videos of him going through checkpoint in Arizona.
And I think I've heard about this guy, and he just refuses whatever they say in like 95% of the time.
But he doesn't talk to them. He mm-hmm. does not traverse with them. He does not argue about whether they have jurisdiction, because as soon as you argue with them about whether they have jurisdiction or not, you just gave them jurisdiction. As soon as you say to them, "Bro, bring the dog back," you just gave them jurisdiction. You just legitimized that dog and that search.
Mm-hmm.
The time If he didn't want to have a search, he could have said, listen, I do not consent to this search. But if they tell him to get out of the car, he's got to get out of the car, because what they did to him, whether you agree with it or not, they're not going to get in trouble for it, and he's going to go to jail. And plus, he's talking on the radio. He is giving them more evidence. They are listening to this right now. And here he says he went through one tonight, and he didn't tell them anything. Fine. I don't think he should tell them anything either, but he should shut his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can bet that what he said tonight is going to get played at his trial in front of the judge. And he's lucky. He's going to be lucky if he doesn't get his bail recalled because of what he said tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because the exact reason that they didn't want to let him out of Arizona or wherever he was, they are going to say, well, see, he just did it again, and he just did what we said he did. Look, he's a pastor. He's too full of himself. He's got to learn to shut his mouth. He's got to watch some of the YouTube videos. There's two YouTube videos out there that I sent around to everybody. The first one is a lawyer giving a short class to freshman law school students. And the premise is, don't talk to the police.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of this is a police officer telling you why you shouldn't talk to the police and what you shouldn't say and what you shouldn't talk about. Don't talk. Shut your mouth. And people got to learn that first and foremost. Getting on the radio where it's recorded is opening your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, you're more than entitled to your opinion. I mean, I hope the guy beats the rap. I still think what happened to him was wrong. I'm not so sure it was lawful. Maybe the get out of the car, but definitely not the search. And did he talk a little too much? I mean, really, that's going to be up to a judge. I thank you for the call. We're going to keep going to your calls after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. 866-582-9933.
Dirt.
We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We're going to continue to go to your phone calls, Dan, Morgan, Sean, Mark, and more. But first, I want to hit up a little bit of a news blitz. I mentioned earlier that the Supreme Court is going to consider life in prison for juveniles. And why is this a problem? Because they're going to lower what they can send them to prison for life for. You know, it might not just be murder. And who knows? You know, if an 8-year-old kid murders somebody else, should they really spend the rest of their life in prison? They're an 8-year-old kid. And they're using the extreme case of a 13-year-old boy who raped an elderly woman. Is that deplorable? You bet it's deplorable. Should he be punished? You bet he should be punished. But should we set the precedent that we can send minors to prison forever? Think about that. Think about it long and hard. And I don't think we should set that precedent. On top of that, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week when we showed you that the front of MySpace was featuring Barack Obama's page, the hip new president. Hey, I'm on MySpace. Yeah. Anyway, the White House is now on MySpace, and he was telling you, hey, go friend the White House, and the White House is going to give you all the latest news on the H1N1 flu virus. Like, I'm on MySpace, I need my flu update, okay? Well, it's a little bit bigger than that. Apparently, not only has the White House gone on MySpace, and this isn't just surveillance, they actually have a page. You can join the White House's friends. It's absolutely ridiculous. But they've also joined Facebook and Twitter as well. This is off from the good people at RLS log. And it really just shows you we are in the cyber age. They're taking over from every single angle, and they have no shame. Last one I wanted to talk about before we go back to your calls. Russian envoy blasts NATO exercises in Georgia. Hey, remember the last time that they ran those exercises in Georgia? They brought in Israeli special forces and U.S. special forces and Blackwater, and then all of a sudden they crossed the border into Russia, murdered a bunch of people, then said Russia invaded them? Yeah, that was because of drills they were running. And I think that Russia is seeing somewhat of the same thing here on that Georgian border. You know, and then Saakashvili can go on Glenn Beck and say how it's all about a new world order, and then Glenn Beck won't challenge him because he's a stage puppet for the new world order, for the globalists, for the elitists. He's bought and paid for by the disgusting fearmongers over at Murdoch Incorporated. And that's the bottom line. All right, let's go to your calls. Let's go to Dan in Florida. Dan, you're on the line.
Yes, what's up, Mr. Burmes? How are you doing tonight? Just a quick thing. I usually don't call in to comment on what other callers say because I know when people do that to me, it's kind of irritating. So okay. I know it's obviously irritating towards them as well. But I just want to say I disagree with the caller like right before me, and I think he needs to rethink what he just said. I mean, he basically just admitted, you know, that he was coming on the air to scare people and stuff like that, and he was telling the guy to shut his mouth.
Well, the thing is, look, if they had said to the guy, we're going to break the windows unless you come out of the car, and then they had to break the windows, whatever, and then they drag him out of the car, whatever. You don't need to shove the guy's face into glass. You don't need to tase him mercilessly. You know, they never said he was under arrest, you know, beforehand. They never told him to put his hands behind his back. Had they said, all right, put your hands behind your back, unlock the door, we're going to take you out. None of that ever happened. This guy got beaten and tased. And remember, there's no drugs here. There's no body here. There's no real reason that this had to happen. So, you know what? I've got to disagree with that last caller, too. But again, to be fair, we let everybody have their say here. Go ahead, Dan.
Yep. No, I totally agree with the freedom of speech thing and stuff like that. You know,
Dan, I'm going to hold you over because we're at the final seconds of this segment. We're going to go to Dan, Morgan, Sean, and more. It's 866-582-9933. Turn in your guns and get some groceries. It's another great program. The good people at Los Angeles are bringing us. We'll go over that and more. On the other side, it's the Info Warrior.
And I can't help but wonder, no Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they die? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the suffering, the sorrow, the glory,
you know, reflecting on what that caller did have to say, I've got to really go back to one of my experiences and really rethink things, because I remember back in 2003, 2004, somewhere around there, I think it was back in 2003, I was simply walking down the street from my parents' auction house that I had visited. They were running an auction there. I was on a side street. It was like 7 p.m. I had a coffee in my hand, and all of a sudden the cops rolled up to me and immediately asked my name. And I said, what do you need to know my name for? And they said, don't worry about it. And I said, do you know what the Fourth Amendment is? And immediately one cop got out of the car, went right for his mace and says, hey, we can do this the hard way if you want. Other cops started to get out of there. He's like, we'll arrest you right now. Normally, I probably would have let myself be arrested, even though I didn't have a lawyer. I hadn't done anything wrong. I, you know, didn't do anything. But my girlfriend was coming into town that night, and I knew it would really irk her if I was in jail for no reason at all other than arguing with police officers. And I want to know if maybe that caller thinks that I engaged the officers. What should I have done? Should I just have ran away? I mean, they asked me a question. I responded that I don't have to tell them, and immediately I would have gotten maced or arrested. I mean, is that my fault? So, I mean, food for thought. Dan, you had something else?
Yeah, well, look here, man. I mean, we're supposed to be a free society. It's supposed to be a constitutional republic and stuff like that. Obviously, that's being degraded, but look, it's pretty simple, man. I mean, if cops are actually stepping over the boundaries and actually beating people up for reasons that are unconstitutional or for reasons, obviously, they're not supposed to be beating people up for, it's wrong, and it's really that simple, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And I just want to tell that guy, you know, if he wants to live in a tyrannical dictatorship, move to China.
Yeah, because that's where they're quarantining 70 people, apparently, for being Mexican.
There you go. but I called you for a really key reason, Jason. There was actually this guy that I was listening to on the radio just the other day. Mm-hmm. His name was John R. Lott, and he actually wrote a book called More Guns, Less Crime. And he is actually extremely intelligent with, you know, as far as, like, weapons go and the Second Amendment and stuff like that. He has all the facts, and he was actually just recently on George Norrie. Mm-hmm. I think it was last night or the night before, but I mean, this guy is highly intelligent. I actually went on air and asked him if he knew of Alex Jones and if he would actually possibly be interested in going on his show or your show, and he didn't even know who you guys were. So
Interesting.
I'm not sure if you actually heard of that guy or whatnot.
John Arlotta. No,
I know you actually said before, man, that some people actually criticize you because you don't spend any time or enough time on the Second Amendment and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would actually be a great opportunity for you to go and just maybe just do one show or something, you know.
Yeah,
with
no, that
guy.
Would be a good guess. I'll try to get Rob Dew on that. But you know what, Dan, I thank you for the call. But let's go over one of these stories, one of these Second Amendment stories. Here they are. Turn in your guns. Get some groceries. This is a program out of Los Angeles to try to trick you into giving up your firearms. I mean, come on. Let's see. CBS 2, KCAL 9 have teamed up with the city of Los Angeles to get more guns off the streets. Below is a list of locations that we will be accepting gun drops on Saturday, May 9th, 2009 from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. In exchange for weapons, you will get valuable grocery store gift cards or Visa cards valued at $100 and $200, $100 for handguns, $200 for assault weapons. And will be given out while supplies last. People can turn in their guns anonymously with no questions asked. That sounds a little iffy, but there are literally 10 locations that you can go and do that in L.A. What a lovely program of control. All right, let's go to Morgan in Maryland. Morgan, you're on the air.
Hi, Jason. I just want to help out. I was so excited to hear a few callers calling earlier asking for a document list, and it's something that I came to the same wall a couple weeks ago in trying to, you know, passionately explain to my parents and my girlfriend about a lot of these issues, and I just wanted a list, you know, where I could just search for the words and try to show them the documents.
Well, you know what?
So
We're going to come back to you, and we're going to talk about this more. But really, the forums are the place to go. That's where you can have a subject line, where you can have a quick link. Remember, we can't just give you other people's information and documents. We have to write stories about that and then source it. We'll come back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.com, InfoWars.com. Folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And before I go back to my caller, I want to thank my final sponsor of the evening. It's AlexJonesRingtones.com. That's AlexJonesRingtones.com. You want to help spread the word in a hip and fashionable way? Well, everybody hears your ringtone, folks. I mean, whether you've got Metallica blasting or Alex Jones on a little bit of a rant, people notice, and it's always great, and it supports us here. And I know that there's some, I don't know if you can get my ringtones yet, but they're coming up if they're not there. AlexJonesRingtone.com, and that's where you find, is it ringtones? I'm sorry, AlexJonesRingtones.com, and that's where you can find Obama Sheep, We're Going Global, Mayday, We're Under Attack, all sorts of things. And like I said, this is a new, fun way to get people into the truth movement, get them to be introduced to InfoWars.com and what Alex does, whether it's his radio show or his videos, and it supports us here, AlexJonesRingtones.com. All right, let's go back to Morgan in Maryland. Morgan, go ahead.
Thanks, Jason. So basically, I've created InfoWarDocs.org. Basically, documentation, it's all the links that you guys referenced last night. For example, I just rewatched Obama Deception and pulled up every link, entered it as a link in there. So if you're watching Obama Deception with your friends, you can do a quick Control F or search or filter by tags on there.
And that always helps us, by the way. We love that, Morgan. Somebody did that with martial law. If you go to martial law, I think, .info, or you just type in martiallaw.info into Google, they did the same exact thing where they went through the entire thing and went through every document that we sourced in that film, and now you've done it for the Obama Deception, and even the stuff that we were talking about on our radio programs over the week. This is impressive, and we need this kind of dedication, sir.
Great, and I would love for people to add, suggest links, and even if somebody in the studio wants a password, you guys could add links directly, but having people add tags to things and rating things, I think it could be a great open source tool because I feel that's our advantage. We're an open source movement. You know, Google it yourself, learn it yourself. So
you guys
are doing great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Morgan. People go check that out, and hopefully Morgan will get on the forums and show that website to people. So if you do want an archive, if you do want a source list, he's going to provide it for you. All right, let's go to Sean in Pennsylvania. Sean, you're on the line.
There's three things I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I heard on the Alex Jones show that you don't have to go to school. There's no law, but regulation. Where would the regulation be? And with the attacks on InfoWars and all the other websites, no one was able to get in, I'm thinking, but I was doing perfectly fine. I guess with the OpenDNS.com, with everything I set up with that, works perfectly fine.
So wait a minute, you were able while we were down on, I believe it was Friday now, we were down for about, let's say, from 5 to 9, then we were up again for a while, then we were down around 9:30 for a little while, and all we had were the cached servers, even here. Like, I was trying to access InfoWars from my desk, and I couldn't do it. You're telling me you could get in?
Yeah, I could get in and look at everything.
And there was it wasn't just the cached stuff? It was live?
It was everything.
Well, my tech guy's listening, so hopefully maybe we can get around that. That's interesting. And then as far as the regulations not to go to school, I mean, dude, I don't think there are any regulations. Basically, the deal is that by the time that you're 16 years old, you're eligible to take the GED in most places. They've really put the kibosh on that in some areas. I know that my cousin who dropped out of high school, who was 19 years old, wasn't able to take the GED test, I think, until this year for some strange reason, but he could have gone over the border to Pennsylvania, and they would have let him take it instead of in New York. So I don't know the specific regulation. I can ask Alex, but I can tell you right now it's not a law that you have to finish high school, although Obama is trying to make it one. I mean, in his, again, fake State of the Union address, he said that one of the reasons that our nation is doing so bad economically is because of all the high school dropouts. And then in the Give Act, it's saying that not only are you going to be required to go to high school and graduate from there, but you'll be forced to either go to college or a secondary school, which is just totally unbelievably insane. And it really begets socialism. What was your third point?
With others, I wanted to find out, like, file sharing to where to get some stuff.
Oh, so you want to know where you can get the high-quality stuff on the file share networks?
A really nice one that I've been using, which I actually found the swine flu 1978, I think.
76. We played it on. It was the 1976 swine flu commercial. There's two of them. They're the ones where, you know, the healthy basketball player and the healthy CEO are all talking about how they'll never get the swine flu. And then the next scene, they're playing the spooky music and they're in bed. And then they show the other one where it's all spread out. And Timmy gave it to Mommy and Mommy gave it to Jody. But Jody didn't have a good immune system, so she died. But she gave it to the mailman. Yeah, I saw it. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's disgusting the amount of propaganda that they even used in the 70s to try and get you to take the shot. So what file sharing networks? By the way, folks, these are the ones that I suggest people get on. Learn how to use BitTorrents. I use BitLord as my client. Some of the best ones out there are isohunt.com, thepiratebay.org, and, of course, mininova.org. These are all places where you can find Alex Jones's material and my material for free. Is there a different one that you use?
ConspiracyCentral.net.
Conspiracy Central actually has a lot of the really great... I used to be on Conspiracy Central all the time, just getting C-SPAN footage and old lectures. A lot of William Cooper stuff is on there. A lot of David Icke stuff is on there. Obviously, Alex Jones stuff. If you're into UFOs, that sort of thing, that's on there as well. Conspiracy Central is a rather good website.
Yeah, there's a guy on there that cuts the commercials out of your show and Alex Jones' show.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we need as much support as we can get. I mean, we're still a kind of a tiny operation, and, you know, we love it when people throw it up on the web. It's a damn shame that the Alex Jones channel has been pulled. I thank you for the call, Sean. We're going to jump to Mark in Oregon. Mark, you're on the line.
Good evening, Jason.
How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, sir. I want to say, you know, thank God we have a little more time here to talk about it and try to do something about this big evil in the world. I was kind of feeling like time was closing up real fast here, you know, not even 24 hours ago.
Well, you know what? It looks like they're trying to pull back from this swine flu because most people now aren't buying into it. They realize there's only been one death in the United States, and it's a Mexican kid who isn't 2 years old. So people are kind of
waking
up. It is ludicrous. But at the same time, now, more than ever in the mainstream media, they're putting out the fact that other nations are quarantining people. China, Hong Kong, that's kind of going out there. There are senators that are proposing bills. I think that that's in this stack right here. Let me find that. Senators proposing bills for mandatory vaccinations. Well, they don't really need a bill because Executive Order 13375 already provides for that. And again, if the World Health Organization decides, and Chan has said, even though they're not going to do it right now, they still may go to pandemic level 6. Well, if they go to level 6, none of us have individual human rights. We don't have a Constitution and Bill of Rights anymore, according to them, not according to reality and humanity, but according to them, we don't. So I don't know why they would even propose this, but...
Well, we're looking at a social conditioning in a very specific way to a near future event, probably some months away, from what I can gather from what Alex says, and he called this one right. He called it you know, to cover the implosion of the economy and everything else that was going on pretty early on. But we talked about it just the other night, last week. You know, I think it was a dry run. And I think Alex said as much on his show today, if I remember correctly. But Jason, you were talking about 9/11, you know, and I'm a big so-called fan of 9/11 because I saw the evidence of it and how strongly it speaks to a conviction in court, basically, if the true culprit was... culprits were brought into a court of law, that there's enough circumstantial material and forensic evidence there to actually convict specifically named people here. Now, you know, when it comes to the bodies not being seen at the Pennsylvania crash site, so to speak, I don't know if you call it a crash site or not, but
an
8-mile
debris field, according to the FBI, over a mountain ridge in New Baltimore, over a mountain ridge.
They could have shot down a remotely controlled, some type of drone, large drone, or even a remotely controlled kind of dummy plane to create that debris. You have a similar kind of debris field, actually, in front of the hole at the Pentagon, which goes up and down the lawn there. Now, that's shown in Eric Hufschmidt's film, and we went over this over a year ago, you and I, when you were guesting for Alex's show. This is really key because this is a piece of physical evidence that I'm going to go into real quick here to actually give you so that you will have it in knowledge and put it into your photographic record on a physical level. The debris field is just little tiny pieces of paper, very similar, and little. It looks like little scraps of paper, basically. They have got CIA families actually walking in Eric Hufschmidt's film. Is it painful questions or is it troubling questions?
No, it's either painful questions or painful deceptions.
It's one or the
one's
other.
One's the book and one's the thing, but they're both painful. Yeah. And actually, we put that video in Loose Change Final Cut in the Pentagon section as well, just to show people that, what they did is they set out on a line all the way over, I believe, if you're facing the Pentagon, all the way to the right-hand side, and they worked their way all the way to the left-hand side, and they were just picking up small pieces of paper. Remember, we only have about 5 or 6 photographs of what could be plane parts and maybe 4 or 5 videos. And the real problem here is there's no marks from the entire tail section. There's no marks from the engine. The wingspan is not long enough. If the wings did what they said they were going to do and they cut through, I believe it was 5 light poles, you'd think there would be debris from the plane beforehand. How was this thing able to guide through 5 light poles, stay together, hit its target without touching the lawn whatsoever, and then leaving a minimal amount of debris? Very, very interesting, Mark. I thank you for the call. We're going to continue on. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis. We're going to shoot through your calls. You know, that last caller in the beginning hit on that, you know, this is a cover for the economic collapse. Well, this headline out of Reuters, U.S. Canada suffer economic toll as flu hits hogs. Remember, they just found the swine flu in pigs for the first time this weekend and made up the cockamamie story that it was a Mexican migrant worker went all the way to Canada, infected a bunch of pigs in Canada because they didn't find any infected pigs in Mexico or anywhere else in the world, for that matter. And now that, it's the pigs. It's got to be the pigs. Remember, last week they're telling you, no, it's pig flu. It's swine flu. People are saying it's other stuff. It doesn't matter that this 2004 document I have here on the swine flu, where are you? Right here. Oh, what do we have here? A little 2004 action here. They're talking about the swine flu actually being, where is it? North America of swine flu type that contains gene segments from birds and humans as well as from pigs. They want to play that down. They don't want people to understand this could be engineered, okay? All right, let's go to Ignorance is Futile in Florida. You're on the line.
Hello, I'm Ignorance Isn't Bliss of the WordPress blog site Ignorance is Futile. In light of the Homeland Security document calling out anti-technology extremists as terrorists, I'd like to try to talk again about what I call the AGI Manhattan Project, but first I must explain what AGI is.
Okay.
In the world of artificial intelligence, AI has become this big buzzword, you know, and when people hear it, they think of like Skynet and so forth. But in reality, artificial intelligence is all around us. It's probably in this cell phone. It's like video games in particular, all your computer opponents are
and
AI.
Let's just explain video games. In other words, when you're in a first-person shooter now, a lot of the video games, the enemies will learn from what you're doing. In other words, the way you control your character, the weapons you use, they learn from that and they become more aggressive towards your style of play in certain games. Continue.
Right. So AGI now is artificial general intelligence. This is the term used by the type of scientists who are involved in trying to create it. For instance, Dr. Ben Goertzel, who works for NIH and in the military. And this refers to a general intelligence. Like if you talk about human intelligence, you talk about general intelligence, meaning you put it in an environment and it can look at everything and understand and learn from everything instead of it's just programmed to do one thing. Like the whole stock market is run by AI, but that doesn't mean, well, you could say the stock market runs the world, but for instance, your laptop has got AI in it. Microsoft is compiled with AI, has been since at least the 90s, but your laptop isn't going to take over the world. It's not going to turn into Skynet. Mm-hmm. But there's a massive initiative to create such a thing, and it's best found with Google and NASA, and then by extension, DARPA. Mm-hmm. And I've spent the last 3.5 years documenting and trying to expose what they're up to over there. And for instance, in 2008, they just signed a 40- to 90-year lease with NASA. This is Google now, at the Ames Research Center in Silicon Valley for a 1.2 million square feet research facility on the NASA Ames Research, which technically it's almost literally a military base. It used to be a military base. Conveniently, their main Googleplex headquarters is it's less than a mile away from it, and Google's also a DARPA, NASA, and National Science Foundation startup operation, mm-hmm. and later were funded by the CIA and everything, as many of your listeners already know. But one of their little parts of this 1.2 million square foot research facility that they write in their own press release to say it's for nano-bio info convergence is, they call it the Singularity University. Mm-hmm. The Singularity, I advise people to Google, ironically, the technological singularity and mm-hmm. see what that's all about.
All right, man, I need you to wrap it up in about 30 seconds before we go to break. Go ahead.
So just I have it all documented. Check out ignoranceisfutile.wordpress.com, and I have videos of the Google founders in there. I have about 2 dozen quotes of the Google founders stating that they want AI. I have YouTube clips I've uploaded, the whole nine yards. It's all right in there, and it's deep government integration with NASA, Google, and obviously the CIA.
All right, brother. I thank you for the call and the info. When we come back, I want to hit canola crop gets a GM fix in Australia. That's right. Australians will soon be eating genetically modified food, like it or not. This is a scan of the article. And how about MTV in Germany talking about the Obama deception and for some reason putting a big old hooter in his mouth right there? I don't know where that comes from, but they're asking, hey, is Obama a puppet? We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior. But I want to hit these news stories really quickly first. Remember, Supreme Court is going to decide whether or not they can charge juveniles with life in prison. That is a slippery slope, folks. I mean, really, really slippery. 13-year-olds getting life in prison, and you know it's only going to get younger and younger, and the crimes they commit lighter and lighter if they pass this. So we should be in opposition to that, in my humble opinion. Didn't even get to finish all of the DHS document. Didn't get to read you the Patriot Movement. Remember, you're a terrorist if you're part of the Patriot Movement, a term used by right-wing extremists. I am a right-wing extremist because I believe in the Constitution and Bill of Rights. How dare I? To link their beliefs to those commonly associated with the American Revolution. Actually, my belief system is right up there with the Constitution and Bill of Rights, so I'm really not associating myself with anything but the founding of this once great country. But thanks. The Patriot Movement primarily comprises of violent anti-government groups such as militias and sovereign citizens. You see, people who want sovereignty, they're also violent and criminal and terrorists. Also, let's see, Christian patriots, patriot group, constitutionalist, and constitutionalist. Disgusting. You're disgusting. Primary targeting. Plans or attacks directed by extremists against parties that are the focus of an organized campaign. So broad, so ridiculous, I can't even get into it. Right-wing extremism. Here's one. Single-issue extremist groups. Groups are individuals who focus on a single issue or cause. 9/11 truth, anybody? Such as animal rights, environmental, or anti-abortion extremism. And often employ criminal acts. None of them employ criminal acts. At least I've never employed a criminal act. Group members may be associated with more than one issue. Then we have the sovereign citizen movement. We're a right-wing extremist movement composed of groups or individuals who reject the notion of U.S. citizenship. Actually, that's not true at all. They claim the following only what they believe to be God's law or common law and the original Ten Amendments, Bill of Rights, and the U.S. Constitution. Actually, common law is legitimate. Go check out Tupper Saucy's work. He did a lot of great things. Underground, a term used to describe a clandestine extremist group's individual or their activities. Think that's broad? Does that sound broad to you? How about super broad? And, of course, the tax resistance movement. People that know that the 16th Amendment was never ratified. I mean, come on. It says right here. It actually says that. And that the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which allowed Congress to levy taxes on income, actually, they didn't allow Congress to levy taxes on income. It's still a voluntary tax. Read it. It literally says voluntary tax on it. Was never properly ratified. Oh, so it wasn't properly ratified and it says it's voluntary. No big deal. Go watch America Freedom to Fascism, folks. It's a movie that's a big eye-opener. I could go on. If you missed any of my report on the DHS document, there is an on-demand section over at GCN Live where you can hear this broadcast for 24/7. We're going to be posting it at the Info Warrior if it's not already there. And, of course, the podcast is always available the next day. Please spread the podcast. It's what gets the word out. It's what gets us sponsors here and allows us to expand our operation. You know, we're not going to be able to post every document in the world for everybody if we don't have the time. We're not going to be able to make great films like The Obama Deception, Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut, The Secret Project. Alex is in the other room finishing up right now, and we'll be out sooner than you think. All right, I want to talk about this. Canola crop gets a GM fix. Australians will soon be eating genetically modified food, like it or not. The nation's major grain handler, GrainCorp, decided last week that genetically modified varieties of canola will be mixed with the main crop in this year's harvest. So you won't know what's non-GMO and what is GMO. And you're going to be eating all. And man, I used to love Australia. Never even been there. Had a few cats that went down there, said, Burmis, you got to go. It's a really cool place. They do a lot of things differently there. I really want you to check it out. Had a job offer there. Really thought about going down there. But man. Look, staples that will become genetically modified include baby food, potato chips, biscuits, frozen vegetables, crackers, and prepackaged meals. and non-GMO food will be more expensive. Disgusting. Pure disgusting. And, of course, over at the German MTV, with Obama with a huge doobie, they are playing the Obama deception. They got the link for the video, and they have a whole article here I can't read because I don't know German, which talks about Professor Griff and KRS-One being in the Obama deception. And I guess Snoop had something to say about this article as well. I don't know. Somebody out there, please translate it. I know there's somebody out there listening that knows a little German. So again, German MTV running an article about the Obama deception. All right, let's continue to go to your calls. Let's go to Dustin in Illinois. Dustin, you're on the line.
How you doing, Jason? That's just a nice talk to you. An issue that really concerns me. I live in Rockford, Illinois here. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that works at a bank here.
Mm-hmm.
Her boyfriend's mom is a branch manager of that branch, and denied somebody a vacation to Mexico about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3-day vacation. The person went ahead and went above her to get the clearance for it, so she did. She goes to Mexico, comes back, and she has a very, very strong flu.
Mm-hmm.
And so they informed the officials, and the United States Army came down and quarantined the bank.
What? In the U.S., this bank got quarantined? In
Rockford, Illinois.
Rockford?
Yes.
Is there any mainstream article that I can confirm this with?
The only source that I could find, she said that it's not in the paper.
Okay.
You might be able to find something. I mean, look it up.
What's the name of the bank, sir? What's the name of the bank?
Associated Bank.
Associated Bank.
Yes, sir. It's a street called East State Street, Rockford,
East
Illinois.
State
but
Street.
But I believe she's a teller there. And uh-huh. they quarantined the bank. They told the employees were told to tell the customers that it was had to do with like security measures, like the alarms had a really bad problem with them.
So in other words, it was updating the security was the reason given that they would be shut down for a little while.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they also told the employees not to tell anyone. You know, don't tell the media, don't tell your friends. But, you know, my friends were like, mm-hmm. like what the hell's going on? This is wrong.
Still closed?
No, they were closed the day after, actually. Mm-hmm. After they did the quarantine, they told the employees not to come back, and they cleaned up the building. I don't know really what they did, but, you know, that just really, really concerns me.
It should concern you. Now, how long did they do this quarantine for? Was it one day, 24 hours?
It was a couple hours during the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And they let the people go, and then they closed the bank down the second day. You know, I'm not quite sure what happened the second day, but the workers were not permitted to be in the building.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. We're going to look into it, and I thank you for the call, sir. I mean, we know that this is happening on small levels all over the United States. We just don't have any confirmed reports on it. We know overseas they are quarantining people. We have 70 Mexicans in China who are currently quarantined, and of course we have 300 people in a hotel in Hong Kong, 100 who work there, 200 that don't. It's an upper class hotel, saying that one person had quote unquote swine flu. Apparently we don't know if this is true. All we know is that one person had it, and the two people with them got quarantined as well in separate facilities, but this person is also being held, and now all these other people have to be held by people in just regular surgical masks that do almost absolutely nothing in the case of a real pandemic. All right, let's go to Steven in Texas. Steven, you're on the line.
Yeah, good evening, Jason. Hey, first of all, I just wanted to say that I hope you're wearing your flu masks on your ears, because since yesterday evening, right now I'm pretty sick, and I may be coming down with this flu. So, you know, the way they're talking about it, who knows, it could spread through the phone lines, you know.
I'll take my chances and keep talking to you, though, Stephen. How's
that? That's great. But what I wanted to say is, you know, a couple things. First of all, you guys have been talking a little bit about, you know, prevention as far as the flu. And there's a couple things I wanted to mention that haven't been mentioned at all. One is not just wash your hands, but do not use antibacterial soap, because the bacteria that's on your hands actually helps kill germs. That's the thing that people don't know, that antibacterial soap is actually bad. Just use like regular soap, like, you know, Ivory or something like that, but do not use the antibacterial, because that'll actually promote disease. And the other thing is, use you know, we hear about antibiotics, and that's a bad deal because that kills your immune system, but probiotics is something that you definitely need to take to build up your immune system because it builds up the good bacteria called flora that are in your colon that helps proper digestion and keeps your immune system up to snuff. So that's a couple things I just wanted to throw out there that I've learned. But the main thing I wanted to say is I'm a health insurance agent, and while I was working today, I happened to go on the website for one of the companies I work for, and they're called Unicare. And so anyway, I went on there, and this is the agent's site. And on here, under updated company news, public and media resources, what do you know? They've got two links. One of them is H1N1 flu, swine flu, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and then H1N1 flu, swine flu, how to protect yourself. And so I clicked on these to check them out. And under, it gives a link to the CDC, and of course, this goes into a bunch of their hype, and what I found really interesting is two things. Number one, they have a listing of the cases of this flu where the infection has been found, and they call it the number of laboratory-confirmed cases throughout the United States. And Jason, are you ready for this? Guess which state is actually listed as having the most infections? It's not who you think it would be.
It's I would think, and I'm probably wrong, I would think it's either Texas and New York, but it's probably something different, huh?
Yeah, it's New York. I was really surprised. They got 73 for New York and 41 for Texas. Mm-hmm. But the really interesting thing here is they have, like, links that you can go to, additional links, and one of them is called pandemicflu.gov. Mm-hmm. And, boy, you want to talk about a site that is full of hype and a bunch of junk promoting this hoax, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, I've had people, I talked to a lady today, you know, and calling about the business I do, and she said, yeah, I really need to get some insurance, man. I mean, what if my husband gets this? You know, he could die. Mm-hmm. You know, and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, people are just, and I told her about you guys and InfoWars, et cetera, and to check all that out, but it's just a shame that because people, you know, are programmed, they will just run with whatever the media tells them and the government instead of checking it out for themselves. And I'll tell you what, I don't care how sick I get, I ain't taking Tamiflu or any of this other stuff. I'll wait it out and let my body fight it like it's made to, because that's the way it's supposed
absolutely
to go.
But you know, we're having callers on this show who work in pharmacies saying they're out of Tamiflu, and this scare has really prompted a lot of people to go and get it, even though the WHO admits that it doesn't work. it's honestly, even the regular flu virus isn't going to be killed by Tamiflu. I mean, get with it. I mean, it just has flu in the name. It's not going to help you, but you can spend your money on it and think you're, it's like taking a placebo or worse. It's unbelievable. Sure.
One more quick thing I just wanted to mention. It says also on the CDC site, CDC has completed deployment of 25% of the supplies in the Strategic National Stockpile, SNS, to all states in the continental United States.
All right,
they're putting
Steven.
This stuff out all over the place.
Well, yeah, of course they are. They want people to be in fear. They want people to take the drugs. They want people, basically, when something like this hits and it's real, when they do start killing people, they want people to line up for the in the arm. All right, let's go to the next Steve in Texas. Steve, you're on the line.
Hey, Burmese, how you doing?
All right, man.
Hey, you know this this flu thing that's going around? One thing I'm wondering is, you think the overhyping of this might actually backfire on the New World Order? Because, you know, it's like the boy crying wolf. And when the real wolf shows up, I mean, aren't people going to say, oh, not again? And not even want to get the shots?
Well, I don't know. The question is, first of all, we've never been to pandemic level 5 in this country, right? And it's very blasé. Mm-hmm. And Chan is still saying they might go to level 6. So we don't know if we're really out of the woods yet. Who knows? Maybe next week that they hype it up even more. It doesn't go anywhere and it just spread at a slower rate and they do go to level 6. I think people are so... Look, the people that I talk to that have no idea what I do for a living and no idea about Alex Jones... Oh, this swine flu is scary. Yeah, it's really scary, and I can't even get Tamiflu. And geez, I really hope they get me a shot because I don't want to get it. And you know, I mean, they're like slow, invalid, retarded people. And I hate to say that, but they are.
They just closed my son's school today.
Yeah, 350,000 kids are not going to school today or tomorrow because of this. And that was on. Go ahead.
I went down to the PISD headquarters, and I walked in there and I said, I want to know who authorized this school to be closed. Mm-hmm. Oh, our executive director. And I said, well, don't you think that
you know, that's a little bit crazy because, you know, for one kid sneezes, well, he might have the flu, and it might be the swine flu, and the swine flu might be a little more dangerous than it is, you know, and now I have to miss work, so I got to stay home the next 2 days and watch my son.
No, it's absolutely...
and nobody's died, and I told him that.
Yeah,
nobody's
died. Well, let me tell you this. Outside of even the swine flu, my little school district, you know, I graduated with 54 kids in upstate New York, and now even that my sister is now going to class in classes of 45 or more. Okay, they are now going to cut all after school programs, including sports. They're cutting art. They're cutting chorus. And get this, man, they're cutting Wednesday. They're going to make the kids go to school for an extra hour and a half a day instead of going from 8 to 2:30. They're going to go from 8 to 4, and they're just going to cut out Wednesday. And parents are flipping out. They're like, well, how am I supposed to take off work to take care of my kids? Why not make it a Friday or a Monday, make it a little more palatable for people who actually work for a living? They're like, no, we're going to make it Wednesday. No. The people that run the system are completely out of their mind and out of touch with reality and just cow down to their masters and love being slaves. I thank you for the call, Steve. Adam in Nevada, you're on the air. Yes, sir.
Mr. Burmis.
Yes.
So good to hear from you again. Tune into your show every night.
Excellent.
You'll be getting my calls just about every other night.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, talking about this genetically modified crops going into Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got another thing to panic about, my little victory garden rising up from its little earthly bed to strangle me in its sleep. I swear.
Yeah, you can lose with your victory garden. That's
big
time. Well, you know what? You can get the non-GMO seeds still, but it is disturbing that the biggest grain corporation out in Australia is just going to start mixing these in with their regular seeds, and they're not giving you a choice. And then they're openly saying, if you want non-GMO food of any sort, it's going to cost you extra. Purely disgusting.
Yes, totally. Anyways, to the meat of my matter, since that hasn't been modified on me yet.
Yet? Well, actually, if you shop at Walmart or Price Chopper or any of the big chains, it probably has. They just don't tell you. They don't have to mark it. All right, I'm not trying to bum you out anymore. Go ahead,
don't
sir.
Don't tell me this.
Yeah, go
Bad
ahead,
enough
man.
As is.
Okay.
But anyways, I am a small-time graphic designer by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And by trade, I call that every little nickel and dime I can scrape together.
Mm-hmm.
And I work in a Second Life. Don't know if you're familiar with it or not.
Yeah, Second Life is like this other, you know, Google has done something called Google Lively, but Second Life you can make a lot of money on, and it's like a virtual world where, I mean, people are literally, this is the next VR thing. This is the step beyond MySpace. These are people living out lives in virtual reality, only slightly. It's kind of hard to explain, but anybody who's a part of it or has seen somebody who's a part of it knows that it has its own little cliques, niches, and business models where people are making tons of money and actually buying property on Second Life. We're going to come back to Adam, finish up on your calls in the last segment. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com.
Save the victory speeches for later. Streets on fire. The mob goes wild, wild, wild. Streets on fire. The mob goes wild. 20 workers, blacks made of pine. Letter from the government sealed and signed. Delivered Federal Express on your mother's doorsteps. 20 workers, blacks made of pine. Letter from the government sealed and signed.
Segment of the Info Warrior, we're going to go back to Adam and his discussion on Second Life. Go ahead, Adam.
It wasn't too much of a discussion, really. I was just curious as to who I would have to contact about getting permission to recreate your shirts in-world and distribute them free along with URLs to the website to get pass them around.
You know who would be good? Email it to tim@infowars.com and robd@infowars.com. More than likely, Tim will deal with it, but he's the one to go with because he's a little more tech savvy and he kind of like does general managing around here. So contact him. Check it out. As much exposure as we can get, even in the virtual world, we will take it. I thank you for the call, Adam. Let's jump to Mark in Minnesota. Mark, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hello. I know you're talking a little bit about the
the swine flu and stuff here, but I always had a couple questions and a comment about the Obama deception, because I had such a great back from somebody today that just how he enjoyed the Obama deception. That
well,
I gave
what a what a great time, because Alex Jones has joined us, so ask away about that Obama deception.
But I know in one of the early segments of the Obama deception, there was a black guy that was out in front of
it's
the
KRS-One.
No,
the rapper.
No, he was out in front of the Chantilly Hotel. He was like a security guy or something. It looked like
okay,
it's just a short footage of him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The black guy?
And yeah, it's out the window. We're about to be kicked out of the hotel right before Bilderberg arrives.
Right.
It's on that Thursday morning or Wednesday morning, whatever it was.
It's probably secret service.
And it's a tall, handsome, shaved head black guy.
Right. And then later on in the movie, there was a guy in the background, a black guy, that looked very similar to the guy that was standing in front of the place.
Well, did it take place in Chantilly, Virginia later, like it is one of those back shots? I mean, it's possible it's the same guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, are you saying it's a shot of security with him in it?
No, it's a picture of Obama with the security guy. It looked like the same black guy behind him later on in the movie.
Well, time code it for us and then send us an email and we'll check it out and we'll see if it is the same guy. I thank you for the call.
Well, I mean, no, listen. We had sources inside. People go, well, then give your sources. Yeah, right. You know, like press give their sources after all the stuff we've broke, after all the secret documents we broke. You know, give up the preacher that gave you the secret document. Give up the state police officer. Even when the, you know, governor's admitting it's real in Missouri, people are saying it isn't real. But we had sources inside Bilderberg that Tucker and others have who said that Obama was there with Hillary. And they said they were having secret meetings and were at three different places, and the media said, oh, they were set up, they weren't there. And then we had two different convoys of Secret Service, U.S. government marked, come in, you know, that weren't State Department or weren't Defense Department with the Gates. Gates had his own the Defense Department protective detail, and they had machine guns when they drove by like this. I mean, it was Secret Service. Obama was there.
No, absolutely.
I mean, Obama's whole – but I mean, it's documented he's there.
Well, Gibbs is up there sweating on the plane going, well, he desired to meet with some people and had some meetings in private outside of the press, and we just trapped you on the plane. No big deal. Let's take off. You know? I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, they tell him he's getting on the plane. They get him on. They lock it up and take off. Yeah. And then he says he had a desire. They had a desire to have some meetings as he ninnies around.
And if you watch any of the interviews he did with the press before that on that day, he openly says that he's going to go talk to Hillary Clinton in private outside of the press. And then lo and behold, oh, she's the Secretary of State.
Hey, Bermie, I think your show's over.
It is over. We're at the end. If you missed any of the show, you can catch it on the refeed. 424 hours.
And then there's the InfoWarrior channel, the auxiliary. Now they've shut down the Alex Jones channel. There'll be a lot on that tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Burmese will be about. And they'll be back tomorrow night, 9 to midnight, Central Standard Time, right here at PrisonPlanet.tv and GCNLive.com. Thanks, folks.